All right, Joel Radio, we're back on the air for you. How you doing today? Joel Fragamenti. John Tenney is here. How you doing, John?
Hey, there I am.
Mike is off.
Back again. You can't get rid of me now.
I can't.
I'm like a stomach virus. Right.
I got that, too. Speaking of stomach viruses, Corey's back. Hey, Corey.
Hey, everybody.
Corey missed our last show, but he's here now.
So. Yeah.
But
that was a silent protest of Corey, the Eagles discussion.
Corey may have to run out of here even before we're done today, but that's okay.
I wish I could have silently protested the Eagles.
I love that I took so much shit about the Eagles.
You should.
They're a terrible band.
They're the worst band of all time.
The movie's good. So what?
I wouldn't watch 5 minutes of an Eagles documentary.
Wait. But wait a minute. People make movies about all kinds of things that you don't like necessarily.
Yeah.
But the movie itself it's an interesting story. It's entertaining.
Well, you could presume that, but it's true. I do watch things that are okay. I watched a documentary one time about the making of a Steinway piano.
Okay, yeah.
I watched that. I saw that.
And I was it was something I'd never think I would care.
Yeah, I liked it.
And you sat there and you went, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, they followed one piano.
It takes weeks and weeks to build a piano, and they got to curve the wood.
All right.
And they show the factory where they've been building the Steinway piano. Sure.
You don't play the piano. You have no investment in the piano.
But you can make a good movie out of just about anything, except the Eagles. That is really the worst.
The problem I have with it, I agree with Corey, you can make a good documentary about stuff. The problem with making a documentary about the Eagles is that some point in the documentary, you're going to have to listen to the Eagles.
Exactly.
Well, I even said in the review that, you know, the movie doesn't even pretend that the Eagles are that good, because the only music you hear are, like, the Eagle songs you know. They don't go deep into, like, album cuts or anything.
Right.
Which you would think a documentary made specifically for, like, fans of the Eagles would
But even the people
deeper.
Making the documentary knew
right.
that they sucked.
I understand that, but it's still... Look, neither of you have seen the fucking documentary.
No.
And I don't know neither of you will actually watch it.
I will never watch it.
I will never see it.
I will say, John did go to the same high school that Glenn Frey did.
Yeah. I mentioned that. I think I might have mentioned that, Mike.
And it's now a middle school, but at the time when it was a high school, and I was dating a hippie girl that went there... they had a wall of fame that was Glenn Frey and Ollie Fretter.
Ollie Fretter.
Was that it? Was there anybody else?
That was about it.
That's it.
And then there were a lot of like college assistant football coaches.
Right.
Like that level of fame.
That's the guys. You know?
At my high school, it was like the two guys who made the NFL who went to our school.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Booger from Revenge of the Nerds.
Right.
Yeah. We talked about Curtis.
Curtis Armstrong.
But you know,
Marshall Crenshaw.
Oh, right.
That's our other claim.
My high school, I don't think there was an official wall of fame, but Paul Feig, I think, is the most famous guy.
Yeah,
with my,
absolutely.
Because Freaks and Geeks is sort of based on my high school, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
Paul, he made Freaks and Geeks.
Oh.
Yeah. He's a director. He directed Bridesmaids, and he does a lot of comedies.
But, never saw Freaks and Geeks.
Okay, well,
he directs a lot of episodes of The Office.
It's based on his life, and also, and then if you want to get into comedy, you would have Steve Bills.
Oh.
Dan DeCap and Joel Fragamenti.
Oh, wow.
Bringing up the whole rear end of comedy.
Michigan comedy.
Michigan comedy.
Speaking of Michigan comedy.
All right, before we get off the Eagles thing, save that one. Because I got a comment on joelradio.net from this fan, I wanted to read it. So this is a guy named Steve L.K. Macrocranios. I don't know if that's a real name, but that's what he posted. I've never heard of him.
It's a Greek name.
And this is talking about our last show, Night Terrors, which is me and John.
Yeah.
And he says, I found the few minutes where you explored fame and the people it attracts to be the most interesting. Do you remember doing that?
No.
Not really. Yeah, no, me neither.
No.
But he said that line, you can't control who likes you, was really profound. It would have been nice to hear Joel expand on this bit a little more, but John was obviously uncomfortable.
Okay. That's probably true.
Okay.
I can hear that.
And then his next comment is, I really get bored when the show goes from talking about being comedians to being the Eagles podcast or the Beatles podcast.
Yes.
You have so much content on music, I don't see why you can't just spin that off onto some other show and keep Joel Radio short and comedian focused. So that's
long ago when we were still doing a bonus club.
Yeah, we did.
You did a Joel Radio.
I played songs and talked about
music, and I think you'd kind of like to just do that at some
point. I think you should come back to that.
I would like to do that.
Would you like there to be a local podcast network that you could host a show?
Yeah, if you put that together, I'm in. But the thing with that is, my feeling is that this show is ultimately what I like and what I'm doing and what interests me. And, you know, stand-up comedy is part of that because that's my job, and, I work in a comedy club and all that stuff. And Corey and I have that in common.
Right.
You know, when you come in, we don't really have that in common, although you do stand-up and you perform.
I'll do it more often.
But I mean, it's not about you. I'm just saying, sometimes nothing has happened in comedy that I would find interesting to anybody.
For sure.
And I've done this show for 8 years, and I've told lots of – we have a really funny story. In fact, we're going to play Bobcat Goldthwait today, who talked about me, and I have that clip.
Oh, we finally –
He did it in fucking November, but I'm just getting to it now. But you'll hear – I had to edit it down.
The last time John was here, when we talked about contractual obligation records,
right?
That was just an organic –
sure.
Thing that sprung
right,
out.
Right, right.
I enjoyed that.
Well, that's the thing with the show.
Please.
Look, I have a page of notes of stuff I want to talk about today.
Okay.
Some of it is movie reviews of stuff I've seen. Some of it is, John's life and what's going on with him. So it's a combination of all that.
And I have a comedy thing to start off with. Come on.
Okay, go ahead. Get into it, John.
So the Metro Times, the weekly magazine.
Yeah. Sure.
Don't blame this on me.
Released their best of.
We're in Corey Hall, sitting over here to my right, is on the staff.
He is. Are you on the payroll? You get a check.
Yes.
They pay you for doing that.
So the staff for best comedian in Detroit.
Yeah.
I'm sure Corey knows this already.
No, I don't. Because
you don't?
I know who won, but I don't know if I don't. Yeah.
Here's the deal.
This is the staff pick, not the popular pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The staff of the Metro Times.
Oh, I see. This I don't know.
Yeah,
Go ahead, John.
The staff of the Metro Times picked.
Was it me?
Jimmy Doom.
Okay.
As the best comedian in Detroit.
All right, let me give you.
Okay, and the audience vote was won by a guy who does improv.
Okay.
Who's not even a stand-up comic. All he's right. a guy that works.
Well, Jimmy Doom's not a stand-up comic either.
Okay, yeah, I know. Well, Jimmy Doom, explain who Jimmy Doom is.
Jimmy Doom is
used he's an
to
asshole.
Be he was used to be a yeah. That is his character. He's a bit part actor.
Yeah.
Former punk rock singer for a band called Almighty Lumberjacks of Death.
Yeah, they were a local punk
rock band. He
which
does,
I saw many
and
times.
And he does free-form open mic poetry.
Yeah.
And it contains a lot of swear words, and it's very lewd. And,
right.
But that's what he does.
But he's sort of a local.
He's a local legend.
He's a local legend, a bar fly.
For sure. He's been in real movies.
Yeah,
He got beat up in Kill the Irishman.
Yeah. Okay. So,
Now I will. Here's the inside scoop on.
Yeah. You please tell
okay.
us.
Okay. We were in between as the best of issue.
Yeah.
Was being composed. We were in between editors.
Ah.
The previous editor, who'd been there for years and years and years, left. And got another job. And they were in the process. So the interim editor, God bless him, has been busting his hump, and he writes a million, pages a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was writing everything. That's all on him because no one consulted me this year.
Yeah, yeah.
There have been years. I've been at the Metro Times for like 6-7 years.
Okay.
Some years I write the comedy section.
Right.
Yeah.
As evidenced by some of the people who've won.
Sure, yeah.
And the staff pick, I often would get to do that. This year they didn't ask me.
No.
I thought it was weird that the staff.
And I didn't really jump in and do it. I could have. If I had chosen, I could have written that.
Right, right.
And I didn't this time.
See, this interests me because of what Joel said, which was I had never heard of the guy who won the popular vote.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even remember his
name. He's a guy. He works at Go Comedy. I forget which guy it was, but it's not.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want an open letter.
Sure.
And I'm going to post this on Facebook.
Okay.
Dear Go Comedy, you're not fucking comedians.
They're not comedians?
They're not.
You're improv actors.
I don't consider... Okay, and I had to talk...
I don't know. I would like this explained.
I was talking to somebody at the bar the other night, and they were talking about improv, and I said, I don't consider improv guys comedians either. And I said, they're actors, because they're not...
I can see that.
They're not writing and performing material as a stand-up comedian is.
Right.
If you're doing true improvisation, which means you're playing a game which has some structure, and you're doing that, and yeah, you're making people laugh on a stage, but it's not being a comedian. It's doing You know what I'm saying?
I understand that, yeah, for sure. Comedians actually think about what they're going to say. They hone it, sharpen it, get it to a point.
And a lot of what also improv is it's sketches. It's stuff that was written, and that's more like a play.
Right.
It's a short play. So that's not stand-up comedy either.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, that by its own definition is a sketch. It is a short play.
Here's the difference.
Yeah.
They have a community.
Sure.
In which all of those little pizzle dicks get together in a circle and rub each other and tell each other how wonderful they are.
Well,
largely because improv comedy, in quotations, involves a lot of women. So girls will get together in a little group and go, "You're the best. No, you're the best. Well, hee 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 hee. Tickle, tickle." And then when it comes to things like this, they'll vote. Comics, stand-ups, are predatory wild animals, much like werewolves, who only get together in a pack unless there's a vampire infestation.
Right. Well,
so they only come together. They're usually fighting amongst themselves, and then once in a while they'll form a coalition.
The thing that I will, not to defend improv in the sense, I mean, like I was saying, it's just not comedy. It is what it is, and it has its own strengths and weaknesses. But it's not stand-up comedy. I mean, it's a different thing.
Right.
So to say it's better or worse or funnier or not funnier, that's personal opinion. But I'm saying it's not comedy in the sense that, you know, most people don't do both. There are some that do.
Right.
But, you know, and it's not to knock on improv because you think about like a Bill Murray. It's a guy who never did stand-up. But hilarious guy, right? One of the funniest guys out there. So I think that you can't say that everybody that does improv isn't funny. Some people that do it are funny. But that doesn't make you a stand-up comedian either. It's a different job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't go to...
I got no problem if they said best improv actor.
Right. Sure.
It's not comedian.
It's not, and I don't know what... But, you know, again, those people, you know, people fill out forms or they email or Twitter or however they vote for this thing, and that's who people decided to vote for. So, but, you know, we've had this Our Magazine's comedian... Best comedian in Michigan and all this garbage.
Absolutely.
So that's all been stupid.
So here's the deal.
People that don't count. Yes. Who did Channel 20 viewers pick as the best comedian?
A guy who will not be named.
It's a guy who literally has maybe 6 minutes of comedy. Right.
They did a contest on Channel 20 in which a guy who's been doing comedy since 1987.
Yeah.
And is a headliner and is a guy I've never seen do anything but destroy.
Yeah.
He lost to a guy who's done comedy for 6 months.
Right.
So really?
Yeah, they had a bracket, best of.
I saw some of the 16, people who, and then there were, some people, it was but some of the videos were terrible.
One of the guys, the guy that me and Corey both backed officially on Facebook,
was
a guy who recorded himself doing stand-up in his basement.
Saw that one.
And overdubbed a laugh track. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And I thought that was inventive and fun. It made me laugh.
Right.
This guy's a horrible stand-up comedian, but it still made me laugh. And so I went this is a cockamamie contest.
Right.
Let's pick the most cockamamie guy to win it.
Right.
And ultimately, that guy didn't win. But the guy who won is not a guy who's, you know, this guy's never, I mean, this guy.
Someone just knew on the scene.
If this guy's made $100 doing comedy in his life.
Right.
Total. I'd be shocked, the guy who actually won.
Right.
And the guy who was the runner-up. I'd be shocked if he made $12 doing comedy in his life.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that was the runner-up was one of the worst guys I've ever seen do comedy. I mean, I'm talking, this is going back to Club Bart, 10 years of guys bombing. This guy's right up there with the worst of the worst. And I mean, and the lowest of thresholds, you know what
you
I'm
know
saying?
What I, speaking of Club Bart for a second.
Yeah, sure.
I just figured something. I was looking through different notes and notebooks. I keep notebooks about a lot of stuff. My memory is failing, so I'm trying to write it all down. I jokingly say, I've done stand-up 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
The first time I did stand-up at Club Bart was in 2008.
Okay.
And I recorded 6 times at Club Bart.
So where are you? Where's your total number?
I've got to be up above 20.
It's over
20.
A dozen. Okay, 20.
Yeah,
all right.
I've got to be
I'll
over 20.
I'll give you 20.
Oh,
yeah,
20 over the past 5 years. I've been doing comedy for 5 years.
5 years in comedy, John Tenney.
Look at that.
But no,
to you guys. It's all thanks to you guys.
But the guy that won is, he's done more than 20 shows.
Right.
But he ain't done 100 shows probably in his life. You know what I mean? This guy's not, you know.
And not fun.
So anyway, but it's all a fraud.
So the contest, and I will state this, and I know I was being harsh to the improv people, and I have friends that do improv.
So as I do.
And they write shows, and I'm sure they're very good. I've seen some of the shows.
Yeah.
It's just not, I hate when they're confused.
It's not stand, it's a different thing.
If you were like a jazz musician and like, you know, a hip hop fucking guy won your category. Right, you'd right, be right. pissed. Well, they're not the different. Same discipline.
It's baseball and football. They're both sports, but, you know, some guys play both, but I have not the same.
I have tried when I have been involved in the writing of that section to try and put over guys that were deserving of it.
Sure.
There was a year when the people voted, and this is, by the way, this will happen. I was at Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase like last week or 2 weeks ago. And they have comment cards.
Uh-huh.
Well, people write on these comment cards, and then they have a segment like, which comedians would you like to see?
Yeah.
You know, because presumably you're going to see somebody and want them to come back and be booked. And these people wrote Eddie Murphy.
Right, yes.
Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. I mean, people that would never play this 200-seat theater in Ann Arbor or this 200-seat club in the basement of a vegetarian restaurant in Ann Arbor.
I'd like to see Eddie Murphy for $12 on a Thursday.
Right, right.
You might be able to get him these days.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right. Chris Rock is not coming here anytime soon.
Exactly, yeah.
But people will just write crazy random shit. And then 1 year at the Metro Times, the people voted Tim Allen as the best local comedian. A man who has not set foot on his comedy stage in the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
Maybe he's been at a theater.
He did that Detroit's 150th birthday or whatever. 300th birthday concert that they did with David Alan Grier. He did a set there. So
where did they do that at?
Hart Plaza.
I was at that. I didn't see anybody.
Well,
I got there late.
David Alan Grier hosted it.
Okay. I got there late because I went there to
Look at Corey with the info.
I got there late.
I went to that Stevie Wonder.
Who else did it? Did Dave Coulier?
I went to see Aretha.
Yeah.
And Stevie Wonder ended up playing.
Stevie Wonder was the big headliner. Okay. And that was cool. But, David Alan Grier hosted it and Coulier showed
and
up.
And Tim Allen did a set.
I think Tim Allen was there.
Okay,
again,
so there you go.
Missed all
that. But look, if this was 1985, 1985, Tim Allen would be the best comedian in Detroit.
But you're probably hanging out with Jimmy Doom. That's why you missed.
So what happened is somebody's drinking buddy wrote Jimmy Doom in.
Well, Jimmy Doom was selected by the staff. It's this improv guy.
What I'm saying is I'm saying somebody.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody on the staff is buddies with Jimmy Doom.
And I'm gonna and by the way, this is my coworkers.
Right.
And I will say this right now. Stop encouraging him.
Okay, well, could...
Jimmy Doom, that is.
You could, but the thing is...
In fact, everybody.
The laziness of it is this. Number one, forget about you. Because maybe you would do it, maybe you didn't. They could pick up a phone and call Mark Ridley. You know what I'm saying? They could pick up a phone and call somebody in the business.
Mark Ridley.
And go,
they could call me.
But I'm saying... I'm saying even if you're not around, if you have no opinion... They don't want Corey Hall's opinion for some reason. They could go get an expert in comedy in Detroit on the phone in about 3 minutes if they wanted to.
And
that would give you a name that people wouldn't laugh at, like Jimmy Doom.
Well, it's particularly bad because I'm actually... It's particularly because I work at the paper.
I understand that.
Now, I'm not in the office... unless, you know, I don't work out of the office anymore. I just kind of go in for meetings every now and then. But, they could still have made a call to me.
Right.
Now, the guy's busy, and I'm going to give him slack because he's been doing a workload of 5 editors by himself, and I applaud that. But this Jimmy Doom bullshit. And then everybody comes to me and goes, Jimmy Doom? I'm like, please, I would not. You know, I'm considered a giant asshole in the business, but I'll tell you why I am. I respect comedy.
Okay.
And I hate guys who aren't comics, who think they're funny, except for John.
This is the thing I will tell you about your paper.
Yeah.
If you want to go to your editor or whoever at the paper, you got to talk and just say this. Listen, I know comedy, and I know guys who are comedians and experts in comedy. And this Jimmy Doom guy is a fraud. He's not a real comic.
Wow.
And you say what happens is it makes the paper look bad, because who knows those other categories? Is best Chinese restaurant. Is that really a good Chinese restaurant, or is that just somebody's buddy? The paper.
I've had that argument.
The paper has no veracity. It doesn't have legitimacy.
I've had that argument in the past. Yeah. And like I said, we were between editors.
Okay, I'm just saying.
When I worked, I can tell you this. I don't know anything about the Metro Times, but I can tell you I worked at Our Detroit for 6 years.
Yes.
And they do a best of.
Yeah, and we have a problem with them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about Our.
Yeah.
Our is, I mean, everybody votes. We get thousands of votes.
Right. Yeah.
It's all tabulated by interns.
Uh-huh.
It's paper ballots. They only recently started doing online vote. None of that matters.
Yeah. So it's paper ballots.
No, I mean, none of it matters.
We mean none of it matters. Oh, They throw the results out.
Always.
And pick who they want.
Well, who
they
advertises
who
the most?
Yeah.
Who advertises
well,
the most?
And we know that there's part of the deal. There's part of a trade. There's a trade-off there.
Well, that, but that's what the staff picks are supposed to be about.
Yeah, they're trading
having
out
done
for
this
space.
For, having done this for many years at two different publications that are... I know the process, and yeah, that's what a staff... Yeah, so... Thank you for dragging this into the ground. It's a pet peeve of mine.
Who's dragging what into the John brought it up?
I'm just saying.
Well, we're doing comedy talk. Fans should be happy.
The fan requested comedy. You're getting comments on comedy.
One of the guys I gave the best comedian in Detroit list to books himself as that. So,
yeah.
It does. People do carry weight with it.
It's fine. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, the thing is. Right, my feeling is I don't even care about the comedy thing because it's all bullshit anyway.
Yeah,
my feeling is if you're a newspaper and you're putting your name on something, it should be there should have been
there
some research
be something behind it.
Gone well, into it instead of that because it makes the paper look bad. The paper is now a source of misinformation.
Well, this year
in my mind,
I am to blame for Jimmy Doom in that I did not do it. This year I didn't go.
I don't hold you at fault.
No,
yeah,
but,
I don't either.
But
it's not your job.
In the past, I have stepped in on that category in the Tim Allen situation, and I went to the editors and I said, "There's no fucking way you're putting."
But the thing is, here's the thing: you may have stepped in the past.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: there are not thousands of people that work at the Metro.
No,
it should be known that there's a comedian on staff.
Right. Yeah, it should be. Yeah,
you know what I mean. And whenever anything comedy comes up, the first person they go to is you. I don't care if you have a new editor.
Right.
There's people who have been there, and they know we have a comedian on staff.
Right. Well, that's just what happened this year. And you know what? In the case of our Detroit, which John used to work in the graphics department.
Yes.
I don't know what the editorial is like over there. I've never had.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Okay. Right. Well, it's,
and I've never had. They've never had a reputation for having good writing. I've never once heard our as a place. It's a magazine that looks great, and it's about beautiful looking advertising photography.
Right.
Yeah. It's not an edit. The editorial is secondary in that paper. It always has been.
It's just
and so when they have somebody like that, the person who won, who's a fink, one of the biggest finks in the business.
Is that the hour winner?
The hour winner, and I'm not sure if this was last year or whatever year.
Yeah, her name rhymes with Lesbian Thompson.
All right, but
she's a fink. She's a horrible human being. She's a scumbag.
No,
let me get this clear for the record. She's a lousy piece of garbage.
I don't even know who she is.
Yeah, it's not important.
It's comedy, inside
nobody
comedy.
Nobody knows who she is.
It's the insider but track.
Let me tell you.
Did either of you ever bang her?
Yeah,
let's get inside that comedian.
I'll tell you that right now. That's not on the menu.
Yeah, that's not on the. Well, listen. The point was,
I am a penile terrorist.
Somebody,
just for having been born a man.
That person is somebody who is also not a terribly successful comedian, but a working comic who sort of stuffed the ballot box.
Right.
So,
and this happens. But by the way, in every comedy contest, there are comedy contests that are adjudged and officiated.
Yeah.
That I'm sure, you know, like the Laughing Skull Festival, they have a panel of professionals.
Right.
But even then, there's politics involved.
And those get it every bit as wrong as any mail-in thing. There's really...
Obviously, I won a comedy contest. There's obviously something wrong.
When
I won one of the Omara Open night.
One of the legs in America. Yeah.
Well, that's like... It's like...
Look.
Hey, I brought a lot of fucking people to that place.
I'm sure you did.
And you know what? Even when you have a celebrity judge.
Yeah.
One time I was judging a Halloween costume contest at a local bar.
And see, that should have been me. Halloween.
Well, they were like, hey, Corey, can you MC this thing? You know, oftentimes I would be asked to MC things for indie rockers and it would be a disaster. But we did a Halloween costume contest. And the girl who won was the one that my friend Matt wanted to bang. So, I mean, you know, just be...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, but the point is that comedy isn't a sport. It doesn't judge. It's not the fucking Olympics. You go up, you get entertained, or you don't, and you move along. There's not about who's best. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ.
You're right. The only way you judge and evaluate comedy, there is a contest of some degree, and the contest is how is your career going?
Well,
are you getting work?
Is, yeah,
are you delivering?
Is. But even
are you rising
politics,
up the ladder?
There's politics in getting work. There's politics in you know.
But all these contests,
who gets TVs?
Go.
Yeah,
all these
contests are ridiculous.
All these awards.
I'm not upset by anything.
That being
because I think they're all phony. I don't. Nothing's real.
That being said, I want to announce a new contest that I'm launching.
What is the contest? You have no contest.
Kidding.
picture.
I'll do a Joel Radio comedy contest if anybody. How would we put that together?
A comedy contest for Joel Radio?
Yeah, if we're going to do a Joel Radio, well, do I have guys in and do 3 minutes in the studio in front of nobody, or do I have to get a venue and put this on and record it for the radio? I have to get a venue and I have to put on a show.
Put on a show.
And record it.
And record it.
And then maybe the listeners can judge it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be a good way to do it. Okay, that would be a little more legitimate.
Yeah.
I got to say, though, back to Jimmy Doom.
But, okay.
Jimmy Doom is an amusing barfly. That does not make him in any way, shape, or form an entertainer, a performer, a comedian.
See, and my thing with Jimmy.
I have zero respect for Jimmy Doom.
Jimmy Doom. Sure.
I think he's a lush and a drunk, and he's a pimple on the ass of this town. And, you people that are amused by him are the lowest form of garbage.
I wouldn't go that far.
I don't know the guy in any. I mean, I know what he looks like. I've said hi to
him. I've known him for a long time.
I've seen his band. I've never had a conversation with
him.
I've
seen, the descent, the rise, the fall. Sure, okay. The descent, the rise, the fall. I've seen it over and over again.
Okay, Jimmy Doom had a punk band in, 1988.
Right. Yeah, and I saw that.
That is well-remembered and regarded, although why, I have no idea.
Well,
Detroit didn't have too many punk bands.
They had fun shows. I went to their shows, and they were fun for what they were.
But here's what happened. These are the reason. Detroit is a one-horse town.
Yeah.
I think UConn, we're in Yellowknife, Alaska. Where is it? No, Canada. Is probably a more legitimate entertainment complex. Here's what happens in Detroit. Dick Purton. That's what happens in Detroit. A guy comes on with a medium teaspoon.
Is he still alive?
Dick Purton was a local radio guy.
Is he still alive?
It was on for 40 years. I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Actually, jeez. Dick Purton is a goddamn broadcasting Hall of Fame titan compared to Arthur P.
Okay.
This was Arthur P. Arthur Penhall.
This is a rock DJ.
He's a rock and roll DJ for how long? 35 years?
Yeah, something like that.
Something from
the big rock station, WRIF Detroit.
Probably started in Detroit in 77 or something. Whatever.
Maybe before that even.
Yeah. Mid-70s.
Yeah.
Here's his shtick. All right, it's Arthur P. on the riff. It's Maui time, baby. There you go. He rode that shit for 40 years.
But you know what? When you like somebody that's like that, like the Ghoul or Count Scary or one of these guys, then you're up their fucking dickhole. Then you can't get enough of those guys, and you're following around when they're 70 years old and doing appearances places. You're all because you remember it fondly, but that's the same thing. It's the same dynamic. I'm not saying Arthur P. is this great radio disc jockey, but, you know.
I consider those guys with a little bit of, with a sort of tongue-in-cheek kind of. You're right. I did enjoy that stuff as a kid, and John does too. And we have a deep kind of
there's nostalgia for it
for horror hosts
for sure.
I mean, I was a Sonny Elliott fan as a kid because he was a local weatherman who used to do these funny puns and draw on them. He died recently, but when I was in college, when I was at film school or whatever I was doing at Wayne State Media or whatever the fuck it was called, I don't even know. But we toured TV and radio stations, and we went to the radio station, and there was Sonny Elliott. Who, you know, is
now strangely enough
70 years old.
It got brought up, but strangely enough, when I was younger, I used to get Sonny Elliott and Ollie Fretter mixed up.
But I met
Sonny Ollie.
I got to meet Sonny Elliott, and I kind of marked out for him. I was like, oh, this is a guy that
it's a star.
I used to watch, and meanwhile, he was working literally in like a cubicle.
Yeah,
his cubicle, his weather station was like one of those dot matrix printers.
Yeah.
That was printing out weather, and he had the Weather Channel on like a 12-inch TV. That was the weather. You know, that's how Sonny Elliott
spent all day writing the final joke for them.
Yeah, and he was just standing around telling jokes.
Sonny Elliott,
like a Catskill comedian. It was kind of sad, but at the same time, I was like, that guy's alive. I love this guy. Yeah. I love it. And meanwhile, the guy's clearly not a star anymore.
Right.
But I still liked him.
Everybody,
you know?
But Sonny Elliott was beloved by everybody.
Yeah.
And was actually back in the day when there were 2 million people that lived downtown Detroit, and we were a major city.
Yeah.
We sort of are, but it's a dissipated metropolis. Yeah. But Sonny was like a big star.
Yeah.
Back when when local anchors people were big stars.
Because TV had just started.
Was he talented, though? I mean, was he... But he was just the guy that was on.
No, you know what? I actually thought Sonny Elliott was...
He was funny. Yeah,
it was cornball.
And when I met him, he was funny.
And it was old gags.
Right.
But he was good at it.
But you know what I think?
It made you smile.
Look, Jimmy Doom's no Sonny Elliott. We can all agree on
okay.
that.
No. What I was going to say about Sonny Elliott is I think... I'm not sure about this. I'm going out on a limb from some bad memory from somewhere long ago. But I think that Sonny Elliott, the reason that he's so beloved and everyone loved him is I think he was one of the first guys to do like a comedy weather thing.
He might have been the funny weather guy.
You know what I mean? Everybody got up and said, it's going to snow, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Here's the forecast for tomorrow. And Sonny got up there, and did jokes and told the weather.
The story of Sonny Elliott? He was a POW in Germany or Poland. He was during the war. He got
American POW.
Yeah. He was in a camp. He was
he wasn't a German.
No, but he entertained the guys.
Jew? Why would he be?
I don't know.
Exactly. He was a Jew.
Yeah.
Which is amazing that he went over to fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in a prison camp and entertained the guys there.
Okay.
And that's how he got into. He started the whole.
So he
shtick.
Wanted to do that.
He would keep the morale of the guys up by doing little shows.
Okay.
And then he came back home and got into radio.
Well, I only use him as an example of a local legend or somebody. I mean, you could do this with wrestling. I work with these old wrestlers when I ring announce these wrestling shows. And I always have respect for them, even if they're beaten up and sad and
I heard
pathetic.
You worked with the Honky Tonk Man.
Recently. I work with the Honky Tonk Man. Who everybody remembers.
Yeah. And,
the Honky Tonk Man, the legendary Elvis impersonator wrestler from the late 80s WWF.
And I just heard Steve Austin on a podcast.
Okay.
It's someone called Steve Austin who said, you know, the Honky Tonk Man was the guy everybody thought they could kick his ass in the dressing room. Like, you know, but he got respect for doing the shtick. Like,
yeah, he shows up. He's in the Elvis jumpsuit. He's got the dyed black hair. You know, he goes out and this is his ring. You know, I introduce him, which is cool for me. I always like introducing guys. Because that's cool. Dude. I'm saying their name. And
for sure.
Them in, you know, but he comes in and he has if you remember the Honky Tonk Man theme song. So that's what's playing as he comes out. So the whole record plays, whatever, however long Long Jam Man theme song is. Then he says, all right. He grabs the mic from me and goes, all right, now here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do a live concert for you right now. Play that song again. So they play the song. Then he does it live. Then he sings the whole Honky Tonk Man theme song in front of the crowd. And does like, and he's standing on the turnbuckles and he's pointing to the fans while he's singing.
And they're loving
it. Trying to get the fans to sing along. So his whole ring entrance is roughly 8-9 minutes.
Right.
They do about a 4-minute match, which ends with Honky Tonk Man hitting a guy with a guitar that they had pried the back off made it out of balsa wood.
I'll be with Honky Tonk Man and Greg the Hammer Valentine at the Motor City Comic Con this year.
All right.
So anyway, Honky Tonk Man.
Wow. I want to go. Can I come hang out at your booth?
Yeah, of course.
Can you get a guest pass so I don't have to pay?
Yeah, of course. Didn't you hang out with me the last time I was at Comic Con?
No, I'll have to.
Well,
I went with Wolfman Mac, speaking of no talent. And
but don't bonk.
He's out of show business.
Yeah, Mac
now, right?
Moved to Florida.
Mac was on our show once.
He's working on phone apps familiar. Now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That's his new gig.
Yeah.
He shut down the show and
the show's
sold
gone.
Off all of the merch. He did. He sold out the sets and everything.
Well, his idea was he would be the new version of the late night horror movie host. And I guess he had some deals in place, right, to distribute that show.
Yeah, it was so close to working.
Yeah,
and we were on local TV when I was
there. And Corey worked on the local show,
and
for
then
a while.
And then he sold it to you know, there's all these digital sub channels,
retro TV.
Yeah, and they all show reruns. Yeah, he was on. And you know what annoys me is the one we don't have in Detroit has Svengoolie.
Oh yeah,
and Svengoolie's out of Chicago,
right?
And every time I'm in Chicago, I try and watch Svengoolie if I can. And it's the same cornball shtick. But you know what? There's something to be said for that. Those guys, Sonny Elliott, Svengoolie, Count Scary, entertained people.
Okay.
Jimmy Doom is never entertained.
Well,
it's like watching a drunk cross the street. It's entertaining in a horror
show. So we all agree that this guy doesn't deserve comedian.
He doesn't deserve shit.
Corey's a little bit harsher on
him. What if they had Barfly of the Year? Would he qualify for that award?
Yeah, he could win that.
When I had my magazine, Baboon of Sickness.
Yes.
Many years ago.
John's been a publisher.
Oh, wait. I only distributed that magazine. Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm okay.
Yes,
It was written and produced by Johann Tiberius.
Tiberius.
But when he had the Worst of Detroit Awards.
Okay.
Jimmy Doom's house won Worst Bathroom in Detroit.
Okay. Oh, God.
Well, I felt that was a fitting,
that
necessary.
That was a deserving win.
That was a deserving
win. Has he been in my bathroom?
I can tell you that yours is better.
Yeah, mine is better. About 8 a.m. this morning, it was not better, but I was sick this morning. I will say
Jimmy Doom is better than the Eagles.
Okay, now let's not get into the Eagles. It's such a hot... And then we went to the bar. I'm talking to John at the bar the other night, And somehow the Eagles documentary came up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then your friend Matt was there, and Matt was dumping on the Eagles, and I was like, look, I'm not defending
this. It's a pretty much...
I'm not defending this anymore.
Which, as a callback, he was the guy that
Matt
threw
was the guy.
Contest
okay, that's
in
fine.
Favor of the girl he was interested okay. in dating.
Oh, listen, there you go. That's nice.
But listen,
that's good work.
All I'm saying is...
I turned to Matt, and I went, hey, who do you want to vote for? And he goes, yeah, pick her.
I'm done
good one.
Taking heat for enjoying a movie that was well-made and that told a story... That was interesting.
Let's talk about a movie that wasn't well made.
I'm fine with that. Yes.
Let's talk about a movie that wasn't well made.
What would that be?
That I know that you posted recently.
I did. I posted something on
and,
Facebook.
I
last
felt
night.
The same way.
Did you see
this.
What I posted
I
on
didn't
Facebook
see it.
Last night? It was
a documentary, alleged documentary.
Let me pull up the Facebook.
Yeah, pull up the Facebook post.
You got to remember, I only have internet when my neighbors unsecure their Wi-Fi.
that's fine, John.
That's true. 3 years. No, I have
what
never,
are you living in a cane?
Have not paid for internet for
John,
years.
John doesn't want. Can you see this?
John,
from
it's like
where,
30
where
bucks
we're
a month.
At? I don't know if you can see this.
By the way, you run.
You see, that was my.
Oh, yeah.
My comment was that was my wordless review of tonight's entertainment. That I watched that movie last night.
Wait a second.
There's a movie called Detropia, and my wordless review was me giving. The title sequence, the middle finger.
You should post that on the page.
Yeah, I'll put that on. Maybe I'll put that on Joel Radio. But
what's the problem?
And then Corey said, three-letter review, POS, meaning piece of shit. But go ahead and talk about Detroit.
This is a documentary by Heidi Ewing and whatever the other slots.
What have
is.
They made? Who are
they?
They
made Jesus Camp.
Okay, I've seen Jesus Camp. It's good.
I saw Jesus Camp. That was all right.
And they did another movie.
It's a little biased, I think.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Against the Christians, maybe.
A little bit.
Because I was wondering what they made these people, but I couldn't.
They
I
made another documentary
to...
that was well considered.
Yeah, I saw Jesus Camp. That was good.
I saw that. It was fine. There's... I think I own it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, by owning it, I mean I downloaded it illegally and burned a DVD of it.
Boys of Baraka.
Yeah, I don't know what that
And they also
is.
Did a segment of Freakonomics.
Yeah, Freakonomics is good.
Boys of Baraka.
Yes, thank you.
Is it like guys who love Mortal Kombat?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes, it is. It's about learning Kano's moves.
Oh.
No. It's
talk about Detropia. Come
back XXB.
I'll let you dump on it first.
Okay. Rachel Grady's the other director. Anyway, so they've made documentaries that have some reputation. Detropia is a film about how people suck at making documentaries about Detroit. It's really I can't describe it. It's ruin porn.
It's
ruin porn taken to extreme. It's misery, suffering. It's what a shithole Detroit is.
It's supposed to take a look at what's really happening in the city of Detroit, but it only takes one little tiny sliver, and it falls into a lot of traps when people come to Detroit. And this, me and Corey have talked about this privately outside of Detropia, but like, don't come to Detroit and fucking photograph our ruins. It's not interesting. I know you're trying to be an artist. This is just putting it out there to anybody. You don't come and walk around the Packard plant and talk about how this is the greatest thing in the world. It's not. Just stay home.
It's probably
interesting.
Stay
in New York or Chicago or wherever the fuck
you are. It might be interesting to people in New York.
But it's not.
It is of zero interest to people who
live
here.
Nobody here cares about it.
Grew up here.
And that's the problem with Detropia. It goes into all this stuff that people hear. While it's, there's nothing in the movie that is inaccurate. It's just you can't make the guy that owns the bar is obnoxious.
It's inaccurate in the larger picture.
Yeah, it's not.
It's inaccurate
in the big picture.
In that. Yeah. Okay, and I interviewed her and I called her on all this stuff. Okay, they show a guy that's in a bar who's still keeping. And then this is a very true story. This happens in Detroit. There were interesting things in the movie.
Sure.
But a lot of it is separated by shots of blowing garbage.
Yeah.
Through burned out.
Sure.
Okay. That exists.
Yeah.
It's real. And I guess people in other parts of the country are going to be interested in it.
Yeah.
But from our perspective, it's a pile of shit of a movie.
Yeah, it's...
Because
it's,
we know this.
Yeah.
We see it. My dad hated the movie Platoon.
Okay.
And he said he hated it because... If you watch Platoon and you hadn't been in the war, you'd think every guy who went there was smoking pot and smashing open skulls.
Yeah.
Like, it painted a bad picture of the entire experience. And he said, did that stuff happen? Sure. Did it all happen to one guy?
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah. It didn't all happen like that.
It wasn't this one Platoon had
But yet everybody thought Platoon and Apocalypse Now were exactly what Vietnam was.
Well, this is interesting to me, this whole concept that you guys, because I haven't seen the film.
Yeah.
But I did get into an argument. I am not usually a defender of Detroit.
Okay.
But you know recently how there was a video where North Korea was showing shitty America?
Mm-hmm.
You ever see? Did you see that?
No.
North Korea had a video and it was like, this is what life is like in America. And then it's a bunch of like horror clips from, you know, Russia in the 1950s. Right. But, you know, it's their propaganda.
For sure.
And I saw a guy on Facebook post that video and he said, well, it looks like Detroit to me. And my comment back to him was, well, that's not helping.
Yeah.
And then we got into a huge long discourse because here's a guy that lives in, I think, like Iowa.
Yeah.
Never been outside of Iowa.
Sure.
And he's like, well, and he's arguing with me and he's like, well, isn't that what Detroit looks like? I'm like, that's what every major metropolitan area looks like from a certain angle.
Yeah, if you go to a certain neighborhood and look at it from a certain angle. And Detroit is not like the people in it are passionate and they're doing what they do, but they're only one. They're very there's like three voices in the movie.
She was very selective in the stories that she told.
Yeah.
And none of them were okay. There's a couple art fags who walk around with gas masks on, spray paint and shit.
Yeah,
I don't need those people either.
Yeah.
What now?
They don't represent anybody.
Now, I interviewed her, and what is going on right now in Detroit?
Did they talk to like Cooley at all?
No. Phil Cooley was not in the movie.
See,
and this was her exact.
That's what I mean.
This is her exact quote. Yeah, I don't give a shit. Phil Cooley bores me. Phil Cooley is a guy who started Slow's, which is a barbecue restaurant. Which has now revitalized an entire neighborhood. All kinds of restaurants. There's not a distillery. There's new shit opening in Detroit all the time. But her attitude was, well, four fucking hipsters doesn't impress me.
Yeah.
Which is complete nonsense. If you really look at what's going on, there are things starting to percolate in Detroit, which have not happened in 25 years that I can remember.
Right.
And if you look at and I remember going down to raves in like 1992. At like 1515 Broadway, and the whole block was desolate. It was like Escape from New York.
It was.
But now you go down there, and it's bust. There's all. So
well, you can find the neighborhoods where they're good.
She didn't find any of that.
Nothing good in the movie. And
she didn't
this woman
that
that's doing this urban exploring, she's, I think, the first person you see in the movie, and she's got a little camera. I mean, what the fuck is that? Like, is that representative of what people in Detroit do? We all walk around abandoned buildings for fun? Mm-hmm. No, it's some stupid. Oh, it was so obnoxious. And then, you know, the only people in there that really seemed to be, like, accurate. Or at least presenting was like the UAW guys. That was an interesting story. Those guys, fine. But the guy who owned the bar was going to the auto show and he's yelling at our friend Steve.
Our friend Steve Bills, by the way, didn't know he was in the movie.
Right. So they go to Steve Bills, who's been a comic on the show, who you guys have heard if you've been a long time listener. If not, you can find the Steve Bills appearances in the archives. Steve has a job where he's basically a PR guy for Chevy. Mm-hmm. He goes to auto shows and he presents the cars and he talks to people. He goes up and he holds the mic and does a presentation about what's the new features on the Chevy models for that year. People have questions, they can come up to Steve, ask him questions about the car. Steve will tell them all about the car. This guy comes up and goes, well, there's a Chinese car that's going to run longer than the Volt on the same charge, and it's going to cost less money. And Bills is a fucking hired hand by Chevy. He's not the engineer of the car. He's a fucking model, essentially.
Right.
Spokesmodel.
Well-informed spokesperson.
A spokesperson for Chevy, but he's an actor playing the role of like a chef. And he's like making, he's trying, the movie makes Steve look bad.
Yeah.
In that Steve doesn't have the answers to this guy's concerns.
Steve's limited. First of all, he's probably limited in what he can say.
Right.
For sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. At a corporate level, they don't want
to. He did make the argument, though, that you're not getting a quality vehicle. You know,
right.
They might have
there's
stats,
a Chinese vehicle that
but you're not going to enjoy the ride that you're going to get.
Right.
They can put numbers out there. And believe me, I've seen these Chinese cars. There were a year when the auto show was at its real low point, when the companies were all about to collapse.
Yeah.
The Chinese took over floor space because people had vacated.
Yeah.
All their cars were locked. You couldn't get in them.
Yeah, yeah.
They looked like Tinker Toys.
Sure.
They had cheap fit and finish.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like you couldn't get in there and see the knobs would have probably come off your hand. So The Steve Bills, by the way, is in 4 or 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Didn't know he was in it.
Yeah. Well,
She didn't get a release from Steve. You know
what's interesting about that?
I think when you're at a trade show, though, you're doing something in the public.
But she painted a picture of him as being a corporate stooge jerk.
Right.
And he's just a guy doing the auto show.
And the guy, this bar owner that's running around causing all this trouble, like, he's passionate, and I get that, and it's an honest passion on his part. But he's not solving anything either. you know.
I just felt that there were positive stories. I don't want, look, I'm not going to sit here and go, we needed a Pollyanna movie.
Yeah.
No, but you know what, before
but
you say that.
It wasn't a full portrait.
It's interesting to me that she was at the auto show, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not you guys know this, it's interesting to me, the Detroit Auto Show, the Friday night before night opening, the Friday night opening night of the auto show is the largest one-day charity event in the country.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
More money is donated to charities in that one
People
night.
People pay like $1,000 to go, and it's a black
than
tie.
Than any
event.
Other event.
Yeah.
In the country.
Okay.
So is that? I mean, she's at the auto show.
She could see that. We're
did she mention that?
No.
She doesn't mention that. And
she.
And there's a whole thing with opera in it, which doesn't make sense at all.
Or like the Michigan Opera House.
They go to the Opera House, but they're saying the Opera House is struggling. They get money from. But they also sort of showed that, like, here's rich white people watching the opera. While poor black people are, I mean, they didn't say it specifically, but it's in
they
the
let
editing.
You draw
yeah, it's
conclusion.
In the editing.
Okay, there, at one point there are some Swedish tourists. Are they Swedish? Or
there's a Swedish like student.
Yeah,
yeah.
And no, I think they said like we came to America.
Oh, they're just tourists
we
in
just
America.
Wanted to see
okay,
Detroit.
Okay, yeah,
we
thought
it was interesting.
Yeah.
And they're at a coffee shop.
Right.
Well, she doesn't explain what the coffee shop is, where it is,
right.
The context of what the coffee shop is. She acts as if everything in Detroit was a complete island and there's nothing, you know.
Right.
So I hated that movie.
I did too. I thought it was
just a bad piece of filmmaking.
It was bad filmmaking. Yeah, you're right. And it's not like those stories all have their place.
Yeah.
You know, you could have a movie about Detroit and have those stories in it, but it's not representative of the city at all. I mean, my feeling is, how was that not a documentary about the guy who owns the bar?
Right.
That if that was the movie, if you want to call it, I forget the guy's name, but whatever, you know, Eddie's Bar, and you want to do a movie like that, then do that.
Or the UAW president.
But you can't call
they
it.
Have picked
yeah,
story
you could have said do
story.
The UAW and tell his story.
But those stories didn't line up together to make.
Yeah,
anything.
It wasn't. You know, this umbrella photograph of Detroit as it stands. I mean, it was pretty lousy. So.
I will say, before we get off documentaries, a good documentary, a music documentary, I forgot to bring it.
Uh-oh.
But I have a copy.
This band better
the Eagles
be fantastic.
Story?
I will bring it this weekend.
Okay.
The Eagles
No,
one?
It is. No, it's Beware of Mr. Baker.
Yeah, I know what that
it's
is.
It's about Ginger Baker, who was the drummer for Cream.
Yeah.
And
I've heard about
Blind
this documentary.
Faith.
Yeah.
And it's fabulous.
Right.
I mean, because one, Ginger Baker is a great drummer.
Right.
And was in good bands. And two, the guy's a lunatic. Now,
he's a crazy man. Yeah.
I would imagine Joe Walsh is fairly entertaining.
Joe Walsh is a crazy man.
And I would
and
probably...
he's in the Eagles documentary, and he's funny.
I might actually even watch something about Joe Walsh that didn't involve Glenn Frey and that other asshole.
I defend my pick to the
What's
death.
What's Don Henley?
Henley, Glenn Frey.
I hate those guys. The Eagles are everything Beachman. I hate in music. I mean, Jimmy
Don
Buffett
Felder.
Is the only thing worse.
The Jimmy Buffett's awful, but okay. And there is a lot of stuff around the Eagles because, you know, they're talking to Jackson Brown.
He's back into it.
They're talking to Jackson.
Back to the Eagles.
Sell the Eagles.
Well, but I'm saying some of the awful stuff is when they talk
Part
to their
two.
Contemporaries. The contemporaries
because
are like.
2 hours of it wasn't enough.
Fuck off. Fuck both of you off. Fuck you.
All right.
Caught that shit like Prince.
My whole mic collapsed. Thank you, John, for catching.
Caught that like Prince. I threw
I caught
my.
Caught that shit like Prince on my ankle.
It was like James Brown.
Oh, what? Oh, but just right, knocked
listen,
a tooth out.
Listen, we're not going to talk about the Eagles anymore. I'm sure this Ginger Baker, if you want to loan me the Ginger Baker movie, I'll take a look at it.
It's great.
And I like they did a Cream documentary a few years ago about the Cream reunion, and there's tons of Ginger Baker acting crazy, and it was great. So I'm sure this movie's great. So,
Ginger Baker's a complete lunatic, and like all the other guys, it's what's good about it is that all the other people are sort of scared to talk about Ginger Baker still.
Yeah.
He's such a lunatic that like Eric Clapton's kind of like, Ginger was weird. You know, like,
well,
so
in the Cream documentary, he hated like Jack Bruce plays too loud.
Right.
And he screams about he can't hear anything because Jack Bruce is turned up too loud and blah, blah, blah. And it's, it's great.
I'll watch that. I have a Nielsen documentary to watch first.
Yes,
Still haven't
you guys talked
that.
About that, too.
Well, here's why we talk about the Nielsen documentary, because I brought up, if you want, we can tie this all together. We're talking about Detroit. I was searching for Sugar Man won the Oscar for Best Documentary.
Sure.
And I went like, I saw six documentaries all better than that last year. And I find that this movie I think someone needs to put a fucking heart through this movie. Because people are raving about it like people have never seen a movie before.
Well,
and I'm like, well, here you have a movie that's based on a false premise about a guy who really wasn't all that talented. And that's this movie that people flip for. And Who is Harry Nilsson, which has been out for a couple years, is a fantastic documentary about a bigger talent who had a more interesting story, who people would discover is a great artist that they should be listening to. But people are buying tickets to see this fucking Rodriguez guy. He's 70 years old. And I know a guy that's a huge fan of that movie, and he's been to 2 Rodriguez concerts.
Right.
Out of town.
The amount of times that song has been played in Gus's.
Oh, God. At the bar.
It seems like.
Which one? I Wonder or Sugar Man?
Sugar Man.
Yeah.
The amount of times it's been played in Gus's in the past 2 months, it makes me feel like I've been listening to it since the 70s.
This guy who became like a mark for Rodriguez in the whole movie.
Right.
Went to 2 of his concerts and said, the guy has no voice and it's terrible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my feeling is not only was the movie not that good, this Rodriguez guy's a fraud. And I'm not into it, and I would like to put that out there.
All right.
And that's why I have this form.
I will, in defense of the movie.
The movie wasn't a bad movie. It's a thumbs-up movie, but...
I didn't see it.
Here's why that movie won the Oscar.
Yeah.
If you looked at the other movies that were in the category.
All right.
AIDS, Israel, AIDS, rape, Israel, war, Palestine, butt-fucking animals. It was just it was all dismal, you know.
Right.
And this is a movie about a guy... who rediscovers...
A redemption.
It's a redemption.
It's a redemption story, and I get
that. And
that
is why it won the Oscar.
Okay.
I think it's a good movie.
What was the butt-fucking animals documentary?
It was great.
What is that? What is that?
You know, Corey saw all these.
Was that really a butt-fucking animals?
The documentaries that I liked better than this weren't even nominated, like The Imposter, which I thought was the best.
The Imposter was great.
I mean, Queen of Versailles was awesome.
The Eagles documentary?
The Eagles documentary. Come on.
No, I'm with you that Queen of Versailles was my favorite of the year.
Sure.
I did like Searching for Sugar Man. Overall, I liked it. I have 2 big problems with the movie.
Yeah.
One... I'm with you. I like the Rodriguez songs. I like the music in the movie, but I didn't at no point did I go, well, fuck, I'm gonna throw Blonde on Blonde in the fire.
Well, that's the thing,
because people oversold him.
Exactly.
In the movie.
Yes, they did.
In the movie, the South Africans are like, well, Rodriguez was the greatest artist to us, and
the movie,
blew our minds.
The movie should be called South Africans Are Fucking Idiots. That's what the movie should be called. Because you don't know. Oh, and they're like, well, Rodriguez has sold more than the Rolling Stones. Well, what does that say about you? Well, that you sold that it sold more than the Rolling Stones. That has nothing to do with the Rolling Stones. That has nothing to do with that reason.
I think
fucking retard.
What amazes me is that, they never heard a newspaper?
Right.
It was pre-internet. This all happened in the 70s and 80s.
He was doing tours of, he's famous in Australia.
That's the problem.
And he toured Australia in the 80s.
The movie left that out. He had success in some other markets, including Australia. Okay. Which preceded the South Africa story.
Sure, yes.
That is a major flaw.
It's a flaw.
It destroys the drama that the film set up.
Not to mention...
I have a problem with the film.
The movie's structure sort of makes it seem like all these things are happening contemporaneously. The guy is searching through the map to find out where Dearborn, Michigan is. And all of that had happened a million years ago.
Right.
And they sort of shot it as if it's happening now. Not to mention, a lot of documentaries are about things that happened in the past, and that's fine.
The Imposter, which is a great documentary.
It does a lot of reenactment.
There's a lot of controversy about that movie. That's about a guy who impersonates a missing teenager.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I heard the story about him
a passport.
Right.
And he comes and lives with the family, and the family goes along with it for a while.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of unanswered questions.
I understand that,
All documentaries are a little controversial, but the Rodriguez thing, I get why people are into it.
But let me just explain this.
It's a nice story.
I don't know anything about it. I'm talking out of my ass right now. I'm going to be honest.
Does anybody
think that maybe this Rodriguez guy had like drug issues and flamed out of the music business, and that second record that he made was a piece of shit? Because I've listened to his albums, and the second one is kind of a piece of shit. And that the guy got out of the business because he couldn't make it, and that it wasn't the biggest crime against humanity that, you know, Bob Dylan sold all these records or these other guys.
I've heard, speaking of my Detroit vinyl crazed super art rock nerds.
Yeah.
A couple of those guys have mentioned Rodriguez to me over the years.
Okay.
When I've been, you know, John has been in bands and been around the music scene forever. And you know the guys, they all talk about, there's a
Jimmy Doom loves him. Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Jimmy's fucking.
Go ahead, though.
Anyway, I've heard the name popped around every now and then, but I never got real. Because the same guy told me that Kiss Destroyer was the White Album of the 70s. Right. So you sometimes
there's hyperbole about stuff that you've never heard. Stuff that you've never heard sometimes has a greater
music. Music guys
to people
will tell
because
you
because not everybody's heard it.
They'll tell you Delaney and Bonnie is great.
I know, yeah.
And you'll go.
Heard Delaney and Bonnie's not that good.
Or Lee Hazelwood is changes your life.
Right,
and you listen to Lee Hazelwood and you go, that's cute.
Yeah.
Scott Walker. Oh, that's the worst.
There's a Scott Walker documentary, by the way, which was on Netflix. Might still be on Netflix.
I liked Scott Walker at one point, and I now look back in those years with shame.
He made like 60s pop records that were really good, you know, the Walker Brothers stuff and some of his solo stuff.
Yeah.
But now he makes like noise music, and it's the worst stuff you've ever heard.
But guys, look, I have a friend who sat there and told me that Metal Machine Music by Lou Reed was a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And it's a 45 minutes of feedback,
which was
a contractual obligation record.
Right.
So, who knows?
That's fine, and fine. And
we've now talked about music and documentaries.
And listen, I like The Fall. So, you guys can stick that in your fucking ear.
The Fall?
Yeah.
People say The Fall is this unlistenable shit.
It is.
The band The Fall?
Actually, if you listen to The Fall, there's a lot of great tunes. Yeah, the band The Fall.
I'm a fan.
Good.
I'm a big fan.
But not everybody is. Some people listen to The Fall and go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, like some people go like, Mark Maron was talking about this with Dave Grohl when he had him on about like, you know, you go down a rabbit hole. You start listening to something. Like he was talking about? He goes, you know, like Mark Maron said, you know, I've got these Captain Beefheart records. And he goes, I just can't put them on.
Yeah.
Because he goes, I know that's going to lead me to some other. I think he said, no, I think the point was like Pet Sounds takes you down a dark road. And Corey's a big Pet Sounds fan.
Well,
but if you're a big fan of Pet Sounds, then you start going after this other stuff.
No, that's true.
And you end up in a fucking world of unlistenable shit.
Well, that happens in music, you always go backwards.
Right.
Like you go, hey, I like the Yardbirds.
Yeah.
And then you start listening to Huey Ledbetter.
Yeah.
And you start listening to Howlin' Wolf.
Yeah.
And then when you're like sitting there with a Champion Jack Dupree album,
it becomes.
And you sit going, what is wrong with me?
Tuneless.
Right. What happened?
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. The Fall, I love Pavement in the 90s. Yeah. And then Pavement's, their biggest influence was The Fall. So I started listening to The Fall. I got into The Fall. I went and saw The Fall live. But people will still tell me, how can you listen to The Fall? It's fucking garbage.
You
gotta listen to The Fall. You know, The Fall.
That's an interesting case because to me, the bands that were inspired by that.
If anyone wants to hear The Fall, I can play some or.
Yeah, go ahead. Break a track.
I can play Rodriguez. I can play whatever.
Well, you should probably for demonstration.
Okay, yeah, for The Fall.
A couple seconds.
Play one of the hits.
I've got some Fall. I've got The Fall. Great.
By the way,
one of the hits.
Is a really relative term with The Fall.
No, it's not. Come on.
Fresh Prince? The 80s Fall, which is the period most people like of The Fall, is like the mid to late 80s Fall.
That's like the.
And
what is it? Fresh Prince?
The New Prince?
Big New Prince.
Yeah, I've got that.
Everybody knows that song.
I've got lots.
It's not a bad song.
Example.
See, I was lucky because I started off. My parents listened to terrible music, so I went in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
They started me on like, "You are gonna love this Mitch Ryder album," and I ended up listening to good music.
Mitch Ryder's not even that bad compared to Jimmy Buffett, but yeah, my mom was big into John Denver.
John Denver.
Quintessential Fall, Drago's Guild from the wonderful and frightening world of the Fall. I think this is a catchy tune, right? And you gotta hear Marty Smith's voice, right?
I am the one who gave you a chance at life. How could you try
now,
and
the voice is an acquired taste, I admit that. That's some good tune. Listen, wait for the break and the bridge here. I love that.
You know what? I'll tell you this.
All right. So anyway.
People might say they might not like The Fall.
Right.
But I'll tell you this. If they switched their names.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon presented them on his first episode of The Tonight Show. On his first episode of The Tonight
Marky
Show.
Marky Smith and The Fall.
Yeah. And he was like, here's this new band.
Yeah.
And they played that song.
Yeah.
Kids would go fucking wild.
Right. But if that was an indie band, if that was Vampire Weekend or
people
something,
would
people would go crazy.
You know, it's funny though. Sometimes I do like the bands that come after.
Yeah.
More than the innovator.
Well, because they refined it. The Beatles refined all that 50s, Buddy Holly stuff and the Elvis
and
all that.
Pavement is one of my all-time favorite bands.
Sure.
And everybody always drew the Wire.
Wire in the Fall.
Wire in the Fall. And
I love
always,
Wire.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Wire fan.
I'm not a big Wire fan.
I'm a huge Wire fan.
But I just, for whatever reason, I don't dislike The Fall. Like, I'm not like, they suck. But I've just never connected to it in a way. You know what I mean? It took the second level for me to get into it. So it happens like that from time to time.
Yeah, it does. I mean, listen.
I have nothing against them. I just was never into them. Or like Guided by Voices. There's somebody they say is Fall inspired.
John's singing along. Look at him.
I wish you guys could see Joel playing air bass.
This is a great hook.
It's
a great hook.
The chorus. You know, when they were touring this only a few years ago, and this is the big closer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He lets the fans sing the chorus. By the way, the guy that left the comment is hanging himself right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're listening to Fall Records on Joel Radio.
Yeah, I'm not into it, but
Corey's not into the Fall. Sorry. It's fine. I'll put the Zombies on, and you can mark.
I love
this. You want to listen to some Zombies? I'll give you. Some.
Well, here, hit him with the Rodriguez track. Do you got
one?
Well,
I do have Rodriguez on.
Do you?
Hold on a second. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't play that so I can feel like I'm at Gus's again.
I have
okay. Heard it seven times.
I have two different music services. Way,
Gus's, which is John's beloved waterhole. I've been going there for years too. Well, I'll probably be there after the Comedy Castle this weekend at some point.
I'll be there tonight. Or was there last
There's night? One CD. There's one CD if I could get into that jukebox and break it with a hammer.
Yeah.
And that would be Rum, Sodomy, and the Lash by the Pogues.
Yeah, that's got to go.
There's stuff that could come out of all jukeboxes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just played out.
What's that Social D album?
Oh, the anyone of the Social D album?
Right. It's a bar. It's a motor. It's a automotive themed, like muscle car themed. There's all kinds of all kinds of motor oil signs vintage car stuff.
Won five awards in Metro Times, Metro Times Best of Detroit.
It's a great bar. Okay. I love that bar.
But isn't
but
there
they
got to
take the Pogue CD out of there before I hurt somebody.
I'm calling for this worldwide.
Yeah.
Take your Johnny Cash out of your fucking jukebox. And I'm not saying Johnny Cash sucks. I'm saying I don't need to fucking hear Ring of Fire every time I walk into a bar.
All right.
Van Morrison. Take that right out of the jukebox, too. No,
put a different Van Morrison in there.
Well,
just, you know what I mean?
There's Van Morrison I like, and then there's stuff that they play at the bar, which I'll...
But you know what?
How come there's no comedy albums in jukeboxes?
Right. That would be good. Put in...
Relentless by Bill Hicks.
Relentless by Bill Hicks. Comedy Minus One by Albert Brooks. No,
Well, this is Little Rodriguez. This is... John's ready to vomit right now. Look at it. Sugar Man... Rodriguez has a good voice. I mean, it's got that 70s production, which is really good. Of these scenes. It's got those strings and that. It's cool. Blue coin, but, I mean, he's got, he recorded like 30 songs.
Yeah.
About six of them are any good.
The difference with this guy and, like, when you talk about Harry Nilsson, he put out two records.
Yeah, I know.
You can't really compare. Harry Nilsson put out how many albums? 10, 12?
Oh, I don't know. Something like that, yeah.
And wrote for other people.
Sure, yeah.
So there's no comparison with him and Harry Nilsson.
But my feeling is
Harry Nilsson's unknown by many people.
The Harry Nilsson story you would get into when you see the movie.
God, turn this off, please.
you know,
my God.
Well,
I feel like I've had more. I feel like I've been drinking these tea and lemonade malt beverages all day.
Yeah, where did you find that?
Oh, my
God. This is the other big
I
one.
I
hear
one,
it.
Yeah. When did you have sex? Genius.
That was hot in 1968. Yeah.
Controversial. We're here on Joel Radio. 6:05 p.m. here on Joel Radio. 32 degrees.
You hit, you missed your mark.
I missed all. I wonder how many plans have gone bad. I wonder how many times. Enough of that.
I would say if there was a best bar fly, Rodriguez probably could have won it many years, because for years he was a guy who hung around like the Cass Corridor, and he'd be at the old Miami.
Absolutely. One of Jimmy Doom's best friends is in the movie Dan DiMaggio.
Dan DiMaggio is a friend of mine, too.
Yep.
And Dan...
He should have won. If they were going to either Dan or Jimmy Doom as best Canadian, Dan DiMaggio should have
gotten. Where's the Jimmy Doom documentary?
Okay. All right.
That's what we need.
Dan DiMaggio is a really funny guy. He's a great... he's terrific... conversationalist and storyteller, and he's one of those guys. I always get on your case for having a failure.
He puts mine to shame.
Right. John is somewhat terrified of success. And whenever something he does, anytime something he does gets popular, John gets all freaked out about it. Dan has a crippling version of that.
Oh, it's disastrous.
To the point where it's like, Dan used to have my job. He used to be a film critic at the Metro Times when I was at the other shittier paper.
Yeah.
Dan had my job, and he would always go, and I, you know, I love that job. And Dan goes, I don't know, I didn't feel good talking about people's stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going,
right.
Are you out of your, you know how hard it is to actually get that job?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
All right. Well, listen, I want to get to, we've talked about
Detroit. I got to get going.
You got to get going. I think I'm going to play the Bobcat thing. How's that sound? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because that's about 6 minutes, and then we can let Corey get out of here. Do you want to stay? You got
to
go?
Well, we're going to
just listen to it on the show.
We're going to have to save Louis Anderson for next week.
Yeah, we might have to save. Yeah. Splash is the new celebrity diving show.
How long are we already now?
We're a little over an hour. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'll play the Bobcat thing. We'll come back. We'll talk about your parents, some more movies. We'll let Corey get out of here. He's got a dinner date.
Yeah, I got
to. Is that enough time for me to smoke too?
Yeah, well, we're playing the Bobcat thing because you already heard that.
Yeah,
you went and watched it on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'll play it. I'll let me set it up and I'll play it, and you can smoke and Corey will go.
This is from Kevin Pereira's podcast.
This is from Kevin Pereira's show. I want to figure out the name of that show, and it's on YouTube, and I'll link to it on the front page of joelradio.net. but I found this on, originally it was on Ustream, and then I found that they put it up on YouTube, so you can watch it on there. It's called Death Squad, Kevin Pereira's Pointless Podcast number 3. Kevin Pereira hosted Attack of the Show on G4.
The now late-lamented Attack of the
Show. I think there's a month left of G4, but yeah, Attack of the Show.
They stopped making
the show they're not making, but G4's still on. But anyway, Kevin Pereira had Bobcat Goldthwait on last November. Bobcat was asked about what happened at the Gathering of the Juggalos, and he tells a story that was about me. About how me and Bobcat were hanging out and what happened to us, and it's pretty funny. And so what I'll do is I'll play that for you right now. It's about 6 minutes. When we come back, I'll tell you, I'll do some fact correcting.
Corey will be wrong. Corey will be gone.
Corey will be gone, but I'll fact correct Bobcat a little bit, because some of the stuff he says about me isn't exactly how it happened. But Bobcat was a great guy. We had a nice time together, and he tells Kevin Pereira all about it. And when I heard this, I was like, well, that's... Is that cool that I mentioned in that way, or is it weird? It's weird hearing about yourself, though.
It's cool, though, right?
Yeah, it is cool. I think so.
Wasn't there a guy that did a whole set about the Gathering?
Yeah, there's a guy named Joe DeRosa, and his closer on his Comedy Central half hour was a story about how I picked him up in a van with no seats in it. He didn't mention Upchuck the Clown, but he said
a guy.
He went to his worst comedy gig ever was the Gathering of the Juggalos, and he says, go to the forest. Your contact will meet you there. And I got there, and the contact was a 40-year-old guy in clown makeup, which is me. And then he said, then he put me in a van with no seats in it, which is true.
Right.
It wasn't my van. It was one of the other guys on the cruise van. And drove him, and then he talked about his gig, how he bombed, and he did bomb, and it was very funny. But I know Joe pretty well now. I've talked to Joe at the Comedy Castle and stuff when he comes through town, and Joe and I are friends. And I interviewed him on Psychopathic Radio and stuff. So anyway, let me play this this thing here before... If I can find the goddamn thing, I don't know how to.
All right, guys, I gotta go. I gotta watch an Eagles documentary for 3 hours.
Oh my god!
All right, Corey's out of here. Let me just let me find this goddamn thing. How do I cue this up?
Wait,
there it is.
How long have you been doing this show?
I know. I just
thought it was good looking.
What did you think about the Gathering of the Juggalos?
So this is Bobcast. This is one of Kevin Pereira's co-hosts asking about the Gathering. I'm going to play this. We'll get Corey out of here, and we'll come back and talk about this with John Tenney. All right, so listen to this. About 6 minutes, guys. You'll love it. It's funny.
Did you do that? Because last time you were here was right before you were about to do it.
I did do the Gathering of the Juggalos.
That was a Twitter question, right?
Yeah.
I want to.
I think
Sir Heisling 420.
I think it was insane. I mean, it was really, you know, and I, like I said,
you were a huge ICP fan before carnival.
I was fully aware. Now you get that booking and you think like, this is what I'm going to do on stage. Like I was actually going to break down magnets, you know, and say, and that's how magnets work.
Bobcat explains the miracles.
Good night, motherfuckers.
Mind's blowing.
But no, when I got there, I was like, holy shit.
Right.
There's no security. It's like Altamont.
You don't need it. They're family.
Well, yeah, that's the idea that we take
family.
Family. We take care of our own. And I've done gigs for Hell's Angels, and I've opened for Nirvana.
By the way, taking care of their own means tying them off in the public restroom.
Well, but I didn't see any IV kind of drug use, but whatever drug was popular, some folks would be walking around and suddenly drop. They would just drop like they were puppets.
Like fainting ghosts?
Or fainting goats. Yeah, the ones that,
goats.
The ones
that, I can't tell that ghost fainted.
It made a noise. Something moved in the kitchen.
Something.
He was appalled.
Casper down. Casper down.
This ghost is, he's got the vapors. He's like fainting goats. They would just suddenly, you'd see like three people just drop. And a lot of toplessness. I said to my wife, I was like,
the kind of toplessness you don't Google on purpose.
I was like, I am so off of tits now. I am so over tits. They ruined tits for me.
Oh no.
So I'm back. Juggalos. On tits. But so we were there and
they call you out to stage.
No, up Chuck the Clown. I went on at 1 a.m. Up Chuck the Clown.
Great slot there. It's a great slot.
He was the opening act, and he's a really nice guy. And Up Chuck is in full clown makeup and stuff. And you know, he's trying to show me that it's nothing to be afraid of. And he's driving me around the grounds in this golf cart. And remember the bad Woodstock where they just
like fences started getting torn down, Pepsi machines are being pulled over
in Rome, New York. Yeah, and there was just fire on a tarmac.
Yeah, the mud people were. Yeah,
so that's what it looked like. So, but that just went on all day. There's just fires and people.
Right, that's called noon at the Gathering of Juggalos.
And people, a funny like nervous tick is they light fireworks a lot. Like, but everybody's too stoned to react. So yeah, you just like, you know, like a.
M80s are going off in the background, and stoners are turning around very slowly.
No. Dynamite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. We were in the trailer.
That's true. I'm sorry.
We're in the trailer, and all of a sudden it's like boom, and you know,
whoop,
it's like
whoop,
whoop, whoop.
It's like this shrapnel, motherfucker. I can see my lung. Whoop.
But you know what's funny is I spend a lot of time in the Bigfoot community, and Sasquatch is supposed to go whoop, whoop. I'm gonna submit it to the goes out. But back to the Insane Clown Posse. Up Chuck is driving me around the grounds, and he's trying to convince me that, you know, this is just like, right? And all of a sudden this huge guy breaks through the crowd, and he's dripping clown makeup, and he goes, "Fuck you, Up Chuck!" And he just starts punching him violently.
Are you serious?
And so we take off in the golf cart.
In the golf cart at 7 miles an hour.
And he's like, oh, he laughs it off. You know, these guys, I'm here every year, and they're, you know, it's like family. And then a can of Faygo hits the golf cart.
Explodes.
Yeah. And I'm covered in Faygo, and we're all covered. He goes, you know,
that means they like you. They just marked your territory.
He goes, you gotta understand, you know, something like that, it could happen out of Dave Matthews. And then all of a sudden, crack, a can of Faygo hits Up Chuck at about 45 miles an hour right into the temple. And he just slumps over, and he's like, I'm hurt. I'm hurt really bad. He's like mid-sentence. Something like that. It could just happen. Crack. I'm hurt. I'm hurt really bad. Bob. And he calls me Bob, which no one ever calls me Bob. He's like, Bob, I'm hurt. And so he just pushes the throttle down on the golf cart. he's like, steer. Steer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'm steering through Juggalos. I'm just like parting.
Oh, my God.
And I see him. Really high juggalos like, hey, that golf cart's coming at us. So then we go back, we retreat to the trailer, the same trailer that Tila Tequila apparently when the crowd
when they turned on her
and threw poo at her.
Yeah.
This is the trailer that they broke the windows
out. To be
fair,
they wasted their last Faygo can on you guys. It's quite an honor. So they only had to throw their shit at
you. They ran out of stuff, so they knocked over some outhouses and threw Duke at people.
Oh my God.
So we're in that trailer that the windows have been knocked out from the Tila Tequila experience. And Up Chuck is like, you know, his eyes look like saucers because he definitely was concussed. Yeah. And ironically, the end of the story, you know what he put on his head to cool it down? Put a
can of Faygo.
Ice cold Faygo. And he had the circle of life.
Papa's cure-all.
He has a can of Faygo on his swelling head. He's like, am I cut? I go, I can't tell. He's got makeup on and stuff. So it's just
only family would shadow your orbital bone, Bobcat. I don't know if you know that.
He's like, no, after that, he no longer was like saying, yeah, it's cool. You know, he's like, we should just stay in the trailer for the rest of the night.
Did you go on at one?
Yeah, I went on one.
What did you do? Did you do magnets or no?
No. But, I have to say that and here's the thing. They really liked me. And because I wasn't condescending, you know.
Right.
I actually knew that I was a guest and I tried to do a show and that they would enjoy. And I wasn't – I had a worse time 2 weeks later on. I went from there to a French film festival to Arkansas. That was my – like in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, so there's Bobcat talking about me.
I don't think I'm up.
Yeah, you're up. You're up.
Am I up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can hear myself better in that other
John
microphone.
Tenney. Can you?
Yeah. Corey's gone.
Well, I want
finally.
You. Let me gain you up a little bit.
Finally.
Do you know what? Because I have it set to Corey's volume, which is 77 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah. You should hear yourself fine. Now, you good?
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. I can hear you. You're right there.
I'm right here. But, yeah, Bobcat talking about the gathering, and I was assaulted at the gathering of the Juggalos. I don't know if I told that story on the air.
I don't think you did.
But I was riding with Bobcat. The story is largely true.
Right.
But, yeah, I took him and his wife on a little tour of the grounds of the gathering when he showed up.
He has adult daughters, too, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. And his wife is like, you know, a new wife or some second wife.
Right.
I mean, the wife is, I don't know how old the wife was. A very nice lady, but I would say she's in her late 30s.
Right.
Bobcat's in his 50s, I'd say. So, you know.
His former wife's Jay Moore's wife, isn't it? Or something like that?
Oh, Nikki.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think there's something to that. Yeah.
I think.
But anyway, that might even been like a second wife, and now he's on the
right.
I'm not sure. But anyway. But his wife, Sarah, very nice, and we're all riding. Now, I have a two-seater golf cart, so Bobcat and his wife are, like...
jammed.
Yeah, well, she's sitting on his lap, basically, and I'm driving this golf cart, you know? So we're all three of us are squeezed in there pretty tight. And, you know, I start taking them around, and everyone's wanting pictures, and I'm signing. They don't even recognize Bobcat.
Right, they
all
want
for
you.
Me. Yeah. And Bobcat at one point said to me, he goes, you know, it's like being... turns to his wife, he goes, it's like being with Elvis. Hanging out with Upchuck at the Gathering of the Juggalos. I was like, yeah, that's nice, you know. And I took them all over, and we met lots of people. And we probably toured the grounds for a good hour.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was like we went out on the golf cart, and immediately I was assaulted.
For sure.
What happened was we ended up driving back through the main concert area, because the main stage was going on at the time, and we're playing up at the comedy stage, which is like the stage that I run, and it's at sort of the top of the park,
right,
where you come in and the main stage is at the bottom, if that makes sense to you. So anyway, so we got to the bottom and sort of had to turn around and go head up, and we're going through the concert area, and that's where people are out of their mind on drugs and drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm driving a golf cart through basically a crowd watching a concert.
Right, dressed as a clown.
So they're not really cool on I'm driving a cart through. And
right.
I think to some people that seems sort of an aggressive move.
Sure.
And he talks in the story about how, like, a guy came up and, like, assaulted us. That I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
I think that was a guy who was just overzealous.
Right. Were you in your full mind?
Oh, yeah. I'm fine.
You were in control of your faculties
at that point? Absolutely. Everything's good. Yeah, I'm fine. And then, I mean, I am tired because it's probably like the fourth night of the five-night gathering.
Right.
So it was, you know, pretty exhausting. I don't sleep a lot of this thing. But, yeah, we're driving, and just out of nowhere, a full can of beer or something hit me. It didn't even hit me in the temple, like you said. It hit me right here on the jaw.
Yeah.
Which, that's actually a place that's very easy to knock somebody out.
For sure.
That's called the button in boxing or MMA or whatever. So I got hit right on the button with a full can. And it is true that I did go, Bob, I'm hurt, like he tells in the story. And I didn't know nobody calls him Bob. I just assumed I'm like, he's a grown man. I'm not calling a fucking grown man Bobcat.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I guess people call him Bobcat. I don't know. But I apologize for that, for calling you Bob, Bobcat.
The rest of this,
I was hit in the face as hard as I could have been. And I did have to drive really fast and said, let's get the fuck out of here. Because I was worried about
him. So his story is basically
true. His story is basically true. And it was funny. But we hung out we must have hung out for 4 or 5 hours before.
I'll be at the gathering this year.
Did the show. Yeah, you want to come? Yeah, we were talking about booking you in there and doing something. Yeah.
Put me in there, do some spooky stuff for the kids.
Yeah, take him on a ghost hunt.
Take him on a ghost hunt?
Yeah.
They'll love it.
So anyway, so I did get hit in the face. I didn't talk about it on the show because, you know, and it really was an isolated thing. I've never been hit like that or assaulted in that way. You know, a lot of bands will be on stage and people throw stuff at them and that happens. And it just happened. There's one guy that went after me. And there is a very small segment of Juggalos who don't like me.
Right.
But they also don't like anybody who's not ICP.
Right.
Like, literally, if you're not those two guys and you're there, you're just the enemy for whatever. And it's just...
But do you find that people who are unhappy with Upchuck?
Yeah.
Do you find that that's kind of like the almost like they're the hipster Juggalos?
No, not at all.
Like we're going to be so strange. We're not going to like
Upchuck. Mind, I think they sort of go like, we're not going to sell this guy's character.
Right.
They sort of look at me as like maybe a guy who they found somewhere. And hired him to wear the makeup and come in and do a show.
Right.
Which is true, But that would have been true 10 years ago, the first time I did it.
For sure.
It's not true now.
Right.
Because I'm actually the stage manager of the comedy and the seminar stage, which is one of, you know, four or five stages at the gathering. So it's a pretty big responsibility I have. I help book the comedy acts. You know, I perform as the opening act. I do lots of shit. You know, I run the seminars for the artists, and, you know, so I'm a pretty important person at the gathering of the Juggalos.
For sure.
I mean, the whole event is really run by about a dozen guys.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the dozen guys. You know what I mean? It's a pretty small group. You know, I'm more, I'm actually.
But they have such a rabid fan base.
Right. But my role now with ICP at that event, because I've done it for so long, is that I'm more of an organizer. I originally was hired to be a performer and I'd perform and that would be it.
Right.
Now I've got all kinds of other duties. I'm driving people.
For sure.
I had to pick up, like, we have tour buses there for the bands that they can sleep
in. If J.J. Walker wants something, you got it.
Oh, I take care of Cheech and Chong. I set up their whole show.
Right.
They had a stage manager, and I put that together, and they were very happy with the job I did. You know, we had about 5,000 people show up for Cheech and Chong.
Wow.
The tent only holds 1,000. It was like the whole fucking festival came up to my stage and went off without a hitch, and they loved it, and they were very happy with it. But, you know, so I do a lot of stuff. Like, I had to drive these – I had to go pick up the tour bus drivers in a – I had one of those 15-passenger vans.
Right.
So I had to, like, drive into town an hour and a half and get these guys and drive these guys, you know, on a, you know, this 90-minute trip through mud and stuff.
Right.
So I was driving professional drivers.
Wow.
That's pressure.
That's pressure.
I mean, these are tour bus drivers. They drive the big tour buses. I've got 9 of them in my van. And I have to negotiate mud and all kinds of shit at this festival.
There was a period of time where I had to drive political candidates.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that worked out.
Right.
But it was during the, I think, maybe the 2000s.
Were you working for a party or something?
I don't know. I got on this list for people who are interested in politics who have chauffeur's license.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, I don't have a chauffeur's license,
so,
by the way.
But, I was driving around political candidates.
Ah, yeah.
Which was weird when you're alone in a car, a nice big car that you could never
big
afford.
Big Lincoln or something, yeah.
And you've got guys behind you who might be president one day.
Yeah. And you're the man. You're in charge.
I drove Howard Dean before he did the, yeah, and got thrown off.
But, you know, the point is that when I work for ICP, I do a lot of shit. So I'm more of like, you know, so I think there's some element of Upchuck is sort of an interloper.
Right.
Or I came late to ICP. I've been working for ICP for 10 fucking years.
Right.
But I came late to the game, and I'm not like their homie from way back. And it's true, I'm not their homie from way back, but I'm their homie from 10 fucking years ago.
Right, which is enough.
Which is enough. I mean, I go to Violent J's house and hang out with his kids and shit. I mean, I've done all that.
Right.
So I'm not just some fucking dicky comic who shows up and
puts
acts
on a
stupid,
wig and
drives a golf cart through the crowd. That's not what I do.
Right.
So there's more to it than that. So Bobcat story is good. And the show we did was really good. I opened for him and did about 10 minutes.
How'd he do?
He did great.
Yeah.
He did great. Although he ended with a...
did he go into character?
He does that for like 2 seconds just to pay, acknowledge it.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, don't expect me to do that. You know, he does it. And then he goes, don't expect me to talk like
for
that.
For sure.
He's very smart, observational comedy. He's very good. But he did do a joke about retards on a plane or something. I forget how it all went. And he closed with it. And the Juggalos, they don't like jokes about retarded people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There is a code amongst Juggalos.
Really?
In what they won't, the racism and like picking on people.
Yeah.
You know, handicapped or whatever. That's all, you know.
That's a taboo.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. I didn't
know
that.
So Bobcat didn't know that. And I talked to him after and he goes, why did they do that at the end? The last joke, it was such a good show, blah, blah, blah. And I went like, well, you know, you do that thing and then, you know, so.
That's weird that they have a little code like that.
They have a little code. I saw Pauly Shore when he played there.
They don't want you to make fun of disabled people.
Yeah.
Don't pick on people.
Don't pick on people.
Fucking kill that clown in the golf
cart. No racist. Yeah, but we'll throw shit at the guy. Again, it was one guy.
Right.
And I didn't get knocked out, which when you consider where I got hit and everything.
Right.
It was pretty fucking hard.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was worried that I was cut because, you know, you can't feel a cut.
Yeah, yeah.
If you get hit like from impact, you don't feel the cut. It just splits your skin. And I wasn't sure if I was bleeding or not. And it was kind of scary in that regard. But I was okay. I was able to do the show. I went and performed comedy an hour later or whatever. It was all good.
Good for you.
We had a good show. So,
good work.
And Bobcat was a super cool guy. I got to say that because it was really cool hanging out with him. He had lots of good stories about opening for Nirvana that he told me.
Yeah.
All kinds of good stuff. You know, a lot of inside.
People forget that part of Bobcat's career.
And Bobcat, if you don't know, you know, Bobcat directed Jimmy Kimmel Live for a long time.
Yeah.
He was the director of that show. He directed The Man Show.
Yeah.
He told me a great story.
He makes a bunch of movies now.
Yeah, now he made God Bless America
right.
and World's Greatest Dad,
yeah.
Shakes the Clown, you might remember, from right. the 90s and all this stuff. But he told me a great, I can't tell you, but he told me a great story from The Man Show about how they did a, like a hidden camera thing where they sent a guy, they sent a hot chick on the street to see what guys would flirt with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran into a celebrity.
Oh, really?
He wasn't married, but he was dating another high profile actress at
right.
the time. And they have this whole
video
tape of him hitting on this chick.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. the guy, he told me the celebrity, like they tried to get him to sign the release.
right.
And this guy fucking lost his mind.
Right.
It's a very good story. I'll tell you who it was later.
All right.
Maybe I can write. You know, I'll write it down for you. I know the audience hates this too.
Yeah.
I can't. Bobcat.
Just means that the audience, you know, they just have to.
Do you know who that is? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and do you know sure. who he was dating at the time was this person, who was another very high profile person. So they were in a relationship,
for sure.
And they got him
now,
on
the audience
video.
Doesn't know, and you can't say.
I can't say. You can't say either.
I can't say either.
You can't say either. Is that what your next question
No, was? I was going to say. There's no hints even to that?
No. Audience? It's fine. The guy's sort of a douche, I guess, but he's a famous actor and
right,
stuff.
From the area.
Yeah. I don't even know. See, now don't even give hints. I don't think he's even from the area. But Bobcat, you know, he told me lots of inside show business stories and stuff, which were very cool. And his wife had worked on one of the Jackass movies, and she was telling about. So I had this really nice time with those two. And we hung out, and Bobcat was a great guy. But that's a funny story about the guy when you're doing the
that's
man
awesome.
Show. You know, yeah. To fucking bust the guy. Hidden camera hitting on their
yeah, that could have been disastrous.
Oh yeah. Well, the guy never signed the release, so somewhere
that's floating around
in a Comedy Central vault or Jimmy Kimmel's production company's vault.
I'm sure somebody's got it that they watch it.
Somebody's
all the time.
Yeah, that's like the office party. Hey, let's watch him hit on our
right.
Let's this guy be a dick, you know. So anyway, so that was Bobcat, and I've sat on that tape for 4 months now, so I figured let's put that out.
Yeah,
there.
For sure.
Because he told it on this thing, and even it was a comment on JewelRadio.net. One of the fans said. Oh, well, he was talking about you, and I had known about it, but he just never got to it on the show.
So right.
I hope you enjoyed that.
What was the name of the show that it was on?
It's a show. It's Kevin. It's Death Squad. Kevin Pereira's Pointless Number 3. And this is on YouTube, and I'll put the link. In fact, I'll link right to.
It's a nice callback to them.
I'll link right to their. Right to, like,
so you,
on the YouTube, I can move the time up because it's almost 2 hours
right
in.
Right to where.
Yeah, and I can do a share link with that.
For sure.
But do you hear him talking about. Bigfoot.
I did.
Bobcat does a lot of Bigfoot stuff. Apparently he was working on a Bigfoot movie.
Yeah. I think that's still coming out.
Is it? Yeah. He was talking about it on here. I edited
when I was watching this clip before the show, and I saw him talking about Bigfoot, I thought somehow or another I need to get in contact with him.
Yeah. Did you?
No.
Okay.
I don't know how to either.
I didn't exchange numbers.
I don't know how to.
We had a great time hanging out, but I didn't get Bobcat's number. I probably could have, but But yeah, I hear you can get a hold of Bobcat's agent and talk to him.
Yeah.
I know Upchuck.
Right.
Upchuck, oh, that's your buddy. Oh, that guy. The guy who got knocked out by a soda can.
For him. You took the hit for him. That's what
I did,
I'm going to
say. But you know what? Hey, man, if Bobcat gets hit with something and I'm escorting him around the ground.
That's your.
It's on my head.
Oh,
man.
For sure.
And he could sue the company. Yep. He could do fucking whatever. So I really felt.
A good job on that.
I think so. I think I did a good job.
You did do a good job.
Thank you. All right, so that's what's good. That's the Bobcat story, the gathering, Upchuck the Clown, all that stuff. What do you want to get into next? Because we talked about Detropia. I have other movies to review
that are sort of home video stuff.
Well, I watched. Here's a movie you can watch with your parents. I know we're going to talk about your parents.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. It's good. I'm recommending it to your parents specifically.
All right, I'll tell you if they'll like it.
But you could watch it with them.
I'll tell you if they'll like it.
It's called The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
They'll never watch that.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, they'll never watch
that. They're not into it? Is that too sophisticated for them?
My mom likes really crappy romance love movies.
Right.
And my dad likes stuff that takes place in 1830.
Okay, they might like this. Here's why. Do you even know what? I know you've played.
Yeah, it's old people in India.
Old people from England. They're pensioners, and they leave England to move to India for this great life.
Right.
And they end up at this flophouse hotel.
Right.
And then
they end up finding true romance and love.
Well, some of them do, and some of them want to do other things, and it's a whole story. A lot of great actors in that.
You liked
Dench. You know what? It's. Without the really good actors in it, it would have been sort of this cliche-ridden,
right?
you know, Hallmark Channel movie.
But you think they bring it around?
Well, and John Madden's the director, and he's directed Shakespeare in Love.
Right.
He did a lot of big movies, so I think that's a movie. I think it's geared towards old folks. When I looked it up on Wikipedia after I watched it, apparently it made $100 million.
Holy crap.
Worldwide. Most of it in the UK, because it has all those big British,
right.
Bill Nye and Judi Dench and Maggie
My mom
Smith
might watch
that.
It.
And I'm thinking, well, that's a movie. I get every old person in England went to this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like a who's who of old.
My dad
British
won't
actors.
Watch it. My dad hates British people.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, in that case, yeah. Your
My
dad
mom would watch it because it's okay. romance. Okay. It's got romance.
Yeah,
in
I'm
it.
Saying, but if somebody likes PBS stuff or, you know.
Yeah, that's not my dad.
Downton Abbey or old, you know, stuff like that. They would like the best Exotic Marigold Hotel. I'm recommending.
You're suggesting
it.
That to all the listeners.
I watched it because I'm a douche. For some reason, that ended up in my Netflix queue, and they sent me the Blu-ray, and I watched it.
Well, there you go.
I don't even know. It if got good get, reviews.
Yeah,
and I enjoyed it, but again, it's not normally something I would watch.
It's got Judi Dench and who's one of the male leads. Anybody?
Bill Nye and Tom.
Wait, Bill Nye?
Bill N-I-G-H-Y.
Oh, okay.
Not Bill Nye, the science guy.
But
Bill Nye's the guy you'd recognize. And Tom, what's his name? He's kind of a stockier guy.
I don't know.
Tom Wilkinson. Tom, well, you'd probably recognize Tom Wilkinson.
I'd have to see it.
Yeah. That was a good movie. And this is all stuff that's on home video right now. So that I have hardly been going to the theater. In fact, I don't think I've gone in this.
Did you
2012
go and see,
I was going to go see Oz, and I didn't.
No, did you go and see, what was
oh,
the...
Oh, Stoker?
Stoker?
We were gonna, they didn't go to that. We no, were gonna, we didn't go to that. For that
but, you didn't go and see Oz either?
Didn't see Oz. I wanted to see Oz, because I wanted to see what
How
the state of Michigan
is.
Spent their money on. And it's a movie that's made, I think, almost $200 million now. And I think the Metacritic is like a 47 or something. It's like it's got terrible
I have an
reviews.
Issue with that. Can I talk about my
yeah,
issue
sure,
with the
Yeah, sure, go
Oz?
Ahead.
Just really quickly.
Yeah.
Did you ever read any of the Wizard of Oz books?
No, but I know roughly...
There's 15 of them.
There's 15 of them, sure.
There's 15 yeah, of right. them. 10 of them.
Yeah.
All they're all written by Frank Baum.
Yeah.
10 of them, mm-hmm. The main lead character mm-hmm. is a female.
Okay.
So when they chose to make a new Wizard of Oz...
Yeah, yeah.
Write a new story, because uh-huh. there's not 15 other ones you could have made. And let's make the main character a man.
Are they all... Okay, let me ask you this, though. Is the Oz movie... Like, it's the story of Oz himself, the man behind the curtain that you see in Wizard
right,
of Oz.
Right, who in all of the books
yeah.
is portrayed as a bumbling charlatan.
Okay. But isn't that what this movie portrays him as? I mean, I haven't seen it. But
I mean, like people don't
But he's like
know.
A he's like a magician at a fair who ends up in the world of Oz somehow.
Right, and he ends up tricking the people in
yeah.
Oz.
Thinking that he has
thinking
magical
that
power.
He has magical power
yeah,
for
okay,
us,
sure.
That he's great and powerful
yeah,
Oz, right? But the only reason he's doing that is because Oz is run by Princess Ozma.
Oh.
Who's been kidnapped.
Oh.
She's the queen.
I don't think that's in this movie.
No.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my goodness.
They cut it all out.
But I think since this movie made $200 million, they're going to make another one of these dumb Oz movies.
Oh, my God. That's too bad.
Which my feeling is that whenever it's something like Wizard of Oz.
I'm not a fan of Franco.
He's bad in this. I mean, he's bad in things.
Did you see him in the Ginsberg movie?
I didn't.
Oh.
Wasn't that
it's
Howl?
Howl. It's a disaster.
He was good in 127 Hours.
I didn't see that.
The story of the guy who cut his arm off.
I didn't see that.
Where he gets pinned under a
rock,
and it's the true
right.
story.
Has to chip
That's
his
a good
arm
movie.
Off.
That's a good movie, and he's good in it. He was kind of good in Pineapple Express, at least doing
I
that
didn't see that
role.
Either.
What have you seen him in? You just hated you saw him in one movie and you
I
hated
saw
it?
Him in, what did I say before?
Pineapple Express wasn't a good movie, but he was good in
Oh, I saw him in Howl.
Howl.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
And then I've seen him in other films.
At least it's based on something.
You're I have. Not, I just can't think of his other
you're
movies.
You're not completely talking out your
Don't
ass.
You have a computer over there?
I do.
It you did. Can't tell me what he's been in?
I could, but it slows the show down.
Does it really?
This is not Joel.
I'm talking about it,
Joel's
though.
On the internet.
I'm talking. You're on the internet. I'm talking, and the people are listening to me, and
I'm,
they're enjoying
I'm
me.
I'm letting you swing in the breeze. I'm
Thank you.
Your dick hanging in the
No, I just feel like James Franco is cashed out most of the time. I feel like he's not really even paying attention
he's
to what
a,
he's doing.
He's got a brother that looks a lot like
he
him.
He pretends. I think that
bunch of
they
stuff.
Think people think he's the new James Dean.
I got the James. Well, he did the James Dean TV movie.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, and that's how he got famous. Okay, here's what he was.
All
in.
Right, give me what he's got.
Okay, let me go back a little. Back a little ways.
Yeah,
back a little ways. Okay.
Okay. And when we say back a little ways, we're talking about like 10 years.
I'm gonna go back to 2000. Okay, I believe James Franco got James Franco was on Freaks and Geeks, I believe.
Right. Yes, he was. Okay.
So that was in 1999 to 2000. Since then, the James Dean TV movie was 2001.
Didn't see it.
He was in the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Okay. Saw it. Remember that.
Okay.
Didn't
and
like
he
him
did,
in
he
that.
Did all the three of the Spider-Man.
I didn't like him in those. Okay.
And I think the third one, he was really the star of that third Spider-Man, yeah. Right? He was the main bad guy.
Right.
He did a movie called The Great Raid.
Didn't see that.
He did a movie called Flyboys, which I remember, about World War II pilots.
Yeah.
He had a little role in Knocked Up, which was a Judd Apatow movie.
Oh, right. I hated that movie.
In the Valley of Ella. I remember that movie, but I don't know.
Didn't watch it.
That was. And then he did Pineapple Express.
Didn't see it.
Knights in Rodanthe, although he's uncredited, yeah. So it's probably a small movie. Milk. He was the...
I saw Milk.
Okay, that was with Sean Penn, and
yeah,
he was
yeah. I
his lawyer or something in Milk?
I liked Milk. I didn't okay. like him in it.
Okay. So you saw Milk.
Yes.
And then Howl.
Yeah, terrible. That was a horrible okay. movie.
He was in Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey. He was the bad guy in Date
yeah,
Night.
Not a good movie.
Not a good movie. Not
no,
good
not a, all the way around, not okay. a good movie.
Shadows and Lies. I don't know what that is.
Don't know what that is either.
Eat, Pray, Love. I didn't see that. It was for chicks.
Yeah, I didn't see that
you didn't
either.
Didn't see that either. I was going to... I thought I caught you on that one.
No, I didn't. I didn't
I'm a big
that.
Eat, Pray, Love fan, Joel.
My mom would watch that.
127 Hours, which I mentioned.
Right.
The Green Hornet. Yeah.
I'm just not a fucking fan.
He did
of
Your Highness, which was that movie about
why is he such a super
megastar? I don't know. Rise of the Planet of the Apes was a good movie.
I like Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
He was in it.
I like that.
I liked the monkeys more than I liked him.
I liked the monkeys, and I liked, who was his...
John Lithgow.
No. Oh, was it his dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lithgow was great.
Lithgow's great in that.
I thought he was great.
That's a good movie.
They're doing a sequel to that now, right?
I think so,
people
yeah.
love fucking monkeys.
That's a that
movie
Apes,
was good.
I think I had that on my top 10 of the year.
That movie was good.
Corey went crazy.
Did he really?
Oh, fucking Rise of the Planet.
I thought it was a good movie.
I thought it was a good movie, too. And I thought that they tied it into not the Planet of the Apes that we know with Charlton Heston.
Right.
But
a new
but
series
going
of Planet
in
of
that
the
way.
Apes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I
which would
was
be
good.
More interesting. And Tim Burton tried to redo Planet of the Apes.
Oh, my God. That was terrible.
So
Paul Giamatti.
I'm more confident in these guys.
Yes.
Planet of the Apes. Okay. So what are we talking about? James Franco?
Yeah.
Oz?
Well, I'm done.
We're done? Okay. So here's what else. But my point about seeing Oz is, you know, they shot that in Detroit.
Right.
And they spent all this money.
But they didn't, because they shot it all green screen.
I guess. I mean, they did build sets. From what I've heard of people I know.
But I'm saying, like, when you say they shot it in Detroit, like, you're not going to see Detroit.
They
the
shot
background.
It in a studio that's in Detroit. It's actually in Pontiac, Michigan.
Right.
I went there because I went to the open auditions for extras.
I have a whole bunch of friends that were extras in the film.
And Jimmy Doom's probably in it. Anyway.
He couldn't have gotten it.
He probably never did. But anyway, so, okay, fuck Oz. All right, enough of that. The Master is out, and that was considered one of the best movies of the year. It got some Oscar nominations.
I want to see that.
Okay. This is what I'll say about it.
Because I do lectures on Scientology and weird religions and stuff.
Yeah. And so, I wish Corey was here for the Master discussion, but he's not. We'll talk about it later with him.
Yeah, talk about this.
Acting great. You got your Joaquin Phoenix.
Right.
You got your Philip Seymour Hoffman.
The Hoff.
You got your Amy Adams.
Yep.
All doing a great job.
Right.
Movie is shot on in a, I forget what it's called exactly, but it's a 65 millimeter process, meaning a giant piece of film.
Right.
Okay, four times the size of 35 millimeter film. So you have this incredibly sharp image. I watched it on Blu-ray here on the big TV. Fantastic looking movie.
Right.
Well made.
Mm-hmm.
Complete waste of time.
Really?
Yeah. Because there's no hero. There's nobody to root for. The movie sort of stops. It sort of ends. And that's it. So I'm a thumbs down on The Master, even though it's an incredibly well-made, great-looking, great-acted movie.
I'm an Anderson fan.
There's nothing enjoyable in it.
That's a P.T. Anderson film, right?
It is a P.T. Anderson movie. And it's my problem with it is that you have the antagonist, who would be Philip Seymour Hoffman, as this religious leader.
Right, L. Ron Hubbard.
He's based on L. Ron Hubbard, apparently. Right. Amy Adams is his wife, so she's sort of a bad character. She
right.
And then, you know, you're supposed to be sympathetic to Joaquin Phoenix because he's this World War II vet. Movie takes place after World War II. He ends
right,
up tied up with this cult. But he's such a dick. Like, his character is such a dick in this movie.
Hmm.
You can't even root for him because you kind of want him to break away from this cult.
Right.
And that would be sort of the arc of the movie. Well, it doesn't play out that way. And I'm not to spoil it for anyone, but it just there's nobody to root for. And it's just kind of there. It's just sort of.
But don't you feel like P.T. Anderson films that he has a tendency to do that? Like, who did you root for in Boogie Nights?
Yeah, I didn't like Boogie Nights.
You know what I'm saying? He does right. that, though. He
I didn't see the one, you have these characters where
you feel like they could be redeemed. You feel like they're smarter.
I don't feel that I have any. My opinion on Paul Thomas Anderson isn't an overarching one because I didn't see There Will Be Blood, which I know a lot of people loved.
Right. I wasn't a big fan of that.
But Magnolia I liked, and Boogie Nights I saw and I didn't like. So for me, I don't really have an opinion other than the guy clearly knows how to make a movie. It looks amazing. I mean, it's really, really the detail and the costumes and the sets and everything. It's just perfect. Really well done. But it's just not enjoyable. It's not insightful into Scientology, I didn't think.
Right.
Where it could have been. It's sort of like, here's this maniac, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he finds this other maniac that he sort of has a kinship with for whatever reason, and they have these adventures together, but it's just not that good. It's one of those things where you just go, I find nothing, and listen, conventional movies, there's movies that can be too conventional,
mm-hmm.
and they're predictable the whole way through.
I agree.
And this movie is so unconventional that you can't even, it just sort of,
you can't even
you
enjoy
don't even
the ride.
Know, yeah, you don't even know where you are in it. You don't even know. It just sort of like.
Is it a little weirdly, you know, I find also with the Anderson films, is it every time someone turns around, is that like, and then it's another like famous actor for a minute or two?
There's a little bit of that, but most of the actors are actually sort of unknowns.
Well, that's good because he has a problem with like every time the camera moves into a room and then all of a sudden, there's Jeff Goldblum on
that couch. Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but not too much.
Okay.
You know, basically it's, you know, because there are guys who sort of look that period.
Right.
Who look 50s.
Yeah.
And he got these sort of guys that look 50s, you know. And then that was good because you don't know who they are, and they're really believable as guys from the 50s or girls from the 50s because you don't know who they are.
You kind of look like a guy from the 50s.
Do I look like
a guy? I mean, in your 50s.
That's not funny. So I'd say skip the master. I say skip the master. Corey, I know it was one of his favorite movies of the year. I didn't find a lot to like in it other than I admire the craft.
I'm still going to watch it.
Okay. You're wasting 2 hours.
I'm just saying.
It's okay. Watch Who Was Harry Nilsson first.
I'll watch Who Was Harry Nilsson.
Okay.
And then I'll watch The Master while I'm washing dishes. How's that?
That's fair enough.
That way I'll get something to accomplish.
And I also saw something called Flight.
Oh, the Denzel Washington?
Denzel Washington is a pilot, and there's a plane crash. And
my mom and dad did see that.
Now, that's a good movie. Now, I won't say, I like Robert Zemeckis.
Right.
He's the guy who made this. Robert Zemeckis, for about a decade, didn't make... And more than that, I think 12, 13 years, didn't make a live-action film.
Right.
He made stuff like The Polar Express and Beowulf.
Right.
He was making all these, like, animated films.
What was I going to... And Ice Pirates, is that a Zemeckis film?
Ice Pirates. Is that, like, an animated thing?
No.
No, I don't know
it's
what
it's a movie
ice...
with Robert Urich.
Yeah, I don't... Just...
No, I mean Spaceballs.
No.
Who did Spaceballs?
Mel Brooks.
Oh, okay.
The Ice Pirates is from 1984. Hold on a second.
Don't you remember Ice Pirates that had space herpes in it?
I don't remember.
You don't remember that film?
And I don't know that
your listeners.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I'm sure. The director was a guy named Stuart Ratfield for that. I don't know who. Robert Zemeckis made a movie called I Want to Hold Your Hand,
right.
Which is about kids trying to meet the Beatles in New York in the
Never
hotel.
Saw that.
Okay, but that was his debut. And then he went, and I'm going to, you know, I got to look up Zemeckis. He made the Back to the Future series.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's where I know
Forrest
him
Gump.
From. That's where I know him from.
He made Castaway.
Oh.
He made What Lies Beneath.
I've seen all those
films. He made, and they're all good movies.
I know who he is.
Except for Forrest Gump's a piece of shit. But Robert Zemeckis is this amazing director who,
right.
I always like Zemeckis too because he used a lot of digital effects in ways that you don't
like
normally
Forrest
see
Gump.
Them. Yeah, but also like in stuff like What Lies Beneath where
right.
you'll see a camera go behind an actor,
right,
up into the air, and then underneath the floor,
right,
and then in front of the actor,
right,
and it's like this impossible move,
right,
and he did it digitally because I have the DVD and I've seen it, and it's cool.
Right.
So he always does that stuff in his movies, and I always like that. The animated stuff he did really weren't that good, at least the ones.
The Polar Express was not good.
Yeah, and
very scary.
Beowulf was not very good. It was like Lord of the Rings,
yeah.
Kind of a knockoff of that. Even though Lord of the Rings is apparently a knockoff of Beowulf, if you go back to...
So he did Flight.
Okay. But he made this movie Flight. It was his first live-action movie, and I guess he did it on the cheap as well. He did a low-budget movie, but it was really good. You know, not the greatest movie of the year, but Denzel Washington's awesome.
Right.
He's a drunk and drug-addicted pilot, and there's a plane crash, but he is the hero in the plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he was under the influence of stuff, and there's an investigation, and there's a whole thing.
So, now, what's the end of the film?
Well, they invest-
ruin it for the listeners.
Well, I don't want to ruin it for the listeners, but you have to watch. But basically, the point is this man, the threat is... He saved all these people. It's sort of like the Sully story where the guy landed the plane in the Hudson.
In the water.
Where he's a hero like that to the public.
Right.
But the NTSC and the airline
wants... He's obviously done something wrong if he's under the influence.
Because he's been under the influence, and they find that out when they take a blood test. So what the threat is, he's going to go to jail for a long time.
Right.
Unless he can come up with a defense.
Right.
So he gets a lawyer. The lawyer was... Who was the actor? He was a lawyer. Good actor. I don't even fucking
James Franco.
No, it was Don Cheadle is the guy
who's
defending him. And so the whole point is like, is he going to be able to live his life? Is he going
to
jail?
Can I make a guess?
Is he going you can make it whatever you want, yeah.
Here's my guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna say there hasn't been a movie like Place in the Sun in a long time.
I don't know what Place in the
Sun. Place in the Sun was based on Splendor American Splendor.
Okay.
Or wait, American
Splendor in the Grass.
No. Anyway, there was a movie called Place in the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
American Tragedy is what it was
American
based on.
American Tragedy.
And the end of the film.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Mm.
Through the whole movie. Makes some mistakes.
Yeah.
Ends up going to trial.
Yeah.
And you don't know how the movie's going to end.
Right.
He goes to jail.
Okay.
That's the end of the film.
Okay.
We haven't had one of those in a while.
Oh, interesting. Hmm.
So I'm going to say.
Okay.
Goes to jail.
Okay. I'm not going to ruin the movie.
All right.
But that you can watch Flight. It's a possibility. It hangs over him this whole movie, and he's trying to get his life back together. He's trying to reconcile with his son, who he's estranged from, and this whole thing. John Goodman plays his drug dealer. He has some very good scenes, and John Goodman's funny in what he does. So that was good. Anyway, so that was Flight, and I've seen that recently, and I recommend Flight. So of these movies I've talked about, skip Diplopia. If you're into old folks, you want to watch something with your mom, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel is good. Skip The Master, even though I admired it technically in acting, proficient, very good movie. Flight is very good.
Right.
Oh, and also Life of Pi is out now on Blu-ray.
Right, which you was life-affirming to you.
Which is on my shelf in the 3D version. So I will be enjoying
The newest DVD I bought was the first season of the Sarah Silverman show.
Okay.
I just saw that I bought it today at the dollar store.
Good for you.
Was at the dollar store.
At the dollar? Was it a dollar?
Yeah, $1.
Wow.
Brand new.
That's terrific. So anyway, Life of Pi, if you haven't seen it, you got to see. That's all I'm saying.
Wizard of Oz, that was the one you didn't mention.
I didn't see Oz, but we're saying it sucks without seeing it. But yeah, Life of Pi. But all the stuff that was out last year that got all the Oscar noms is all coming out between now and the end of April. So.
Right. I just saw The
all
Hobbit's
that stuff
out,
is out. The Hobbit is out this week. Yeah, it just came out.
Saw that.
Life of Pi came out last week. What else is coming out? In April, I think they're releasing Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, I'll see that.
In April. I haven't seen that either.
I'll see
so that's
that
something
when it
I
comes
need to
out.
See. Yeah. So all that stuff is
I think I'm getting a crush on Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think.
Here's a movie not to see.
What?
Called Winter's Bone.
Winter's Bone.
You know what Winter's Bone is?
No.
It stars Jennifer Lawrence. It's the movie that made her famous.
Okay. I thought it was Hunger Games.
Well, she got Hunger Games because she was good in Winter's Bone.
Okay.
Winter's Bone's a fucking giant piece of shit.
Okay.
And again, not unlike The Master. Very well made, competent,
right.
But awful.
What's the story behind it?
Winter's Bone is about a girl who lives in West Virginia.
Right.
And she is, I'm trying to remember, she's raising her little sister. Her dad, somebody dies. And
yeah, I'm already out.
She's left alone, and then there's like a creepy neighbor, and then somebody's trying to like buy her land, and they want her to like
I'm
leave
already
the land.
Out of that.
But you watch her like hunt and kill rabbits. And she actually, like, cleans rabbits in the movie.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
It's not good. No.
No.
Yeah, stay away from that.
But I think I'm getting a little crush on her.
Did you see Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
No.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It was horrible.
and that's a movie that could have been good.
Yeah, for sure.
People say the book is great.
My sister, I have a 13-year-old nephew.
Yeah.
And he loved the books.
Did he?
Like, out of his mind.
Yeah.
And my sister even liked them. And she's right. like, these movies are going to be great.
Yeah.
And I sat and watched it with him.
Yeah.
And the two of them,
yeah,
like, they were watching, like, Casablanca. Like, they were in.
That was it. And, an event.
And I was in, because we were watching it on DVD,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing that thing where I was like, you know, they're super into it,
yeah.
and they don't even notice that I'm not even in the room anymore.
That movie had problems, man.
Yeah.
And I know it made billions of dollars, and they're making another one, they're making the next two, and I think Jennifer Lawrence was good in that, but the universe didn't make sense to me.
Right.
I didn't get where they were.
Right,
I
right,
mean, it was
right.
it was a post-apocalyptic future or dystopian future, whatever it was. It didn't work.
I think my crush on Jennifer Lawrence is coming from familiarity.
Ah, like she reminds you of a chick.
No, I think, like, if you go to the bar over and over again.
Yeah.
There's a girl there that, I'm telling, speaking generally.
Sure.
There's a girl there that's not that cute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you keep going to the bar.
Keep seeing her.
You keep seeing her.
Yeah, okay.
You've seen her smile a couple times now. Yeah. You've seen her when she's drunk. You've seen her when she's sober. You've seen her with her friends.
Right.
You maybe said a couple words to her and they were okay.
Sure.
And now when you go into the bar and you see her,
yeah,
you're like, that girl's cute. Right?
Now you got a thing for her because, okay. Yeah. All right.
So I think that's what's happening with me and Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, I mean, you got to see the Silver Linings Playbook, though.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
She's got dark hair in that, which is more my speed.
Yeah, I guess she does.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's more my speed.
All right.
Not a big blonde guy.
Good. Oh, speaking of blondes, and we're getting completely off track.
Oh, good.
You're going to introduce me to that girl at the bar.
Which one?
I was hanging out with you St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a girl.
Uh-huh.
I think it was St. Patrick's Day. It might have been the other Sunday before, but I think it was St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
And you were like, this girl has a blog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are we going to make that happen?
Yeah.
And I'm not asking for like you to set me up on a blind date with this chick.
No, that's going to happen.
But yeah, I'm interested in her.
We're not going to, first of all, I'm not going to promote her blog.
No, absolutely not. No,
but I will introduce you to her.
Yeah, definitely. I'm interested.
She is a character you need to have in your life.
I do. I think I do.
Yeah, she's a wreck.
I know, and that's what I'm feeling like.
Yeah, yeah.
Being single, I need to date. Because, look, I've looked for the right one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm out of a relationship, whatever, right. now, 5 months.
Right.
I thought she might have been the right one.
Right. I've gone out
on dates that I thought might be the right one before the date.
This girl who I'm going to introduce you to is right definitely one. Not the right one.
Exactly.
And
but
that's what
I
want.
Because I want to have something to compare the next one that comes along to.
Right.
And I'm feeling like everybody's being compared to a girl that I liked.
Oh.
And that's not good.
That's not good.
I want to have them compared to somebody that I'm interested in.
Right.
That I'm attracted to.
Yes.
But is an awful person.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah, good.
I know that sounds bizarre to people at home.
No, it sounds perfectly fine to me, and that sounds like a perfect fit for you.
Yeah, well, this girl seems like somebody who's...
She's cute.
She's cute. I got that she was cute.
She's a professional woman.
Sure. She seems like she's not an intellectual, but she's a pseudo-intellectual.
Yes.
Yeah, she's not really as bright as she would think she is.
I'll go along with that.
I mean,
she would argue that, but that's because she's
that's it. She's an intellectual. Whereas me, I'm an actual learned man.
Right. You are a scholarly, collegiate type.
I am. I'm well versed. I'm a professional wrestling ring announcer, for
that's
fuck's
right.
sake. I mean, come on.
College graduate.
I know everything. Exactly.
Are you?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wayne State University,
yeah.
Maybe.
There you go.
Yes. So, anyway.
Learned man.
And I want to date this girl.
And she is freshly divorced.
She's freshly divorced, and it seems like a fit.
She's on a tear right now.
See, good. Because she was hitting on some guy the other day, and I'm like, what is she
doing? First introductions.
Yeah.
When they happen.
Just introduce me to her.
You're getting an
I'll
ear,
take it
you're
from
getting
there.
Ear nibble for sure.
I'm not asking
At
you
least.
For any.
In the
I'm
bar.
Not, right, right.
You'll
oh,
get an
I'm
ear,
sure.
You'll get
I'm
an
sure.
ear nibble.
Because she was, okay, I thought the deal was I showed up at the bar.
Right.
You're there working. It's St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
I thought she kind of wanted to hang out with you.
No.
But she couldn't hang out with you because I was hanging out with you. So she was hanging out with some guy at the bar.
Right.
That guy didn't want to hang out with
her. She didn't want to hang out with me.
Right. She didn't want to hang out with you.
No, she didn't.
But you didn't notice when you and I were hanging out where we were hanging out.
Yeah.
And she was sitting at the end of the bar and we were sitting like at the other. She kept turning her head. In our direction,
uh-huh.
like looking our way. So something was going on with her. I'm not saying it was me. I'm assuming it was
I think
you.
It was you.
Might have been me.
I think it was you.
And that would have been the opportunity for you to
introduce knows.
Me. She knows what?
That there would nothing would ever happen between her.
Oh, okay. So that's you're off limits in yeah. that sense. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's fine. I get where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right. Then that's fine. Then that's what that's
I have
happen.
No desire for that train wreck. In
no,
my
it's
life.
Fine. I'm
you do.
Oh, you don't even know what I've dated. I've dated the biggest.
Wow.
The biggest.
What I've dated. Not even girls, who. There's you didn't girls, even say who I dated.
There's girls that there's not another aside. Like there's girls that nobody that knows me.
Right.
Ever knew that I dated.
Well, wow. Wow.
Like, there's girls that, like, not one of my friends or family ever met. And I'm talking six-month relationships.
Really?
There's they never met them.
Wow.
They don't know their name. There's a girl that Corey had to give a girl a name.
What?
Because I wouldn't tell
him. Because you wouldn't say?
I wouldn't tell them the girl's name.
I dated.
And you know what his name for her was?
What?
And again, sight unseen.
Right.
Him and his wife, Corey, right. at the time his girlfriend, named her Big Sheila. And they weren't that far off.
That's
the
funny.
Sheila wasn't accurate.
That's
but,
funny.
But they were like, you know, whenever I would talk about this girl.
Big Sheila.
He's like, are you hanging out with Big Sheila tonight? Like, he didn't, like, I wasn't putting out any information.
Right.
He just, in his mind, made up who this person was. And yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, so that was it.
I like little code words for people.
Sure.
For,
yeah.
Code absolutely. Names. For
yeah, yeah, yeah. And like nobody else knows you're referring to right. as this, but yeah.
Well, like I'm gonna spin us into a direction.
Okay.
That,
sure.
Which was when I did my first podcast ever.
Ah.
When I did The Oddest.
Sure.
It was about talking about my relationships sometimes.
Okay.
And so I had to create code names for
everybody. The girls. Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah.
Because I couldn't say their names. So there was like sports girl.
Yeah, right? I could do that with my exes.
And I always,
yeah,
they were always somebody girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there was sports girl, pinball girl,
oh, okay.
hairdresser girl.
Oh.
And the only other one that wasn't a girl name was, it was, she was just, I just called her worst date ever. She was a girl that said
really?
That she would make me dinner. On our yeah. first date, she was going to come over to my house.
Yeah.
The date would be at my house.
Oh.
I would provide wine and the house. She would bring dinner.
Okay.
And she showed up late.
Yeah.
And she brought a can of Parmesan cheese.
How delicious was that Parmesan
and I
cheese?
Had to then I made dinner.
You made dinner.
And she provided parm cheese.
What was she thinking? What was in her mind?
She was just, first of all, that was a weird.
Was she just weird or was she like deliberately doing things? Or
she's one of those
weird.
People who, after following like fish around for 15 years,
she did that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Decided she was going to get her act together.
She made poor decisions
and made a lot of bad decisions. And then on our first date, when that happened,
yeah,
we hadn't talked in 12 years. We had known each other 12 years earlier, and she spent the entire first date recounting all of the drug fucking that she did while she was on tour with Fish.
Well, you know what? I would, first of all, those stories, I'm sure were entertaining, but they have to be in the right context.
Yeah, and not
you
on a first
say
date.
That to a first date.
No, no, no.
You shouldn't even say that to like a boy. You just keep that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta just
you
keep that under wraps.
Yeah. You don't tell. First of all, I don't want to know any of my girlfriends. Like, I don't need to know those stories. Yeah, sure.
Okay, okay. Keep going. Yeah, okay.
I don't need to know.
Yeah.
It's in
yeah,
the past.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's in
right.
the past.
Right, right, right. And my girlfriend, the last girl, you know, that I dated for 3 years and maybe was going to marry or whatever, she, you know, she wanted to hear stories about my exes. And I was like, why do you want to? Like, you're
right.
just going to piss you off.
Yeah.
And I go, but they're not in my, like, she I don't know. She was.
They're not real.
They're not. Yeah.
The past is over.
It's gone. Yeah, exactly.
It's never coming back.
Right.
And it only exists in my memories.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what the fuck is it made?
But my ex would be jealous of, like, you know,
other girls that
yeah,
you might have
like
had run into.
My old, not even that the girls are around now.
Right.
But that my relationship with them was somehow better than my relationship with her. I'm like, you're out of your mind.
Right.
And I go, I you know, like there's girls, I'm like, I dated that girl for like 3 months. Why are you jealous of her?
See,
I've spent years
it's
with you.
That's a self issue, though.
Yeah, I know.
Because like I've never been jealous of other ex-boyfriends of my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm the best.
Yeah, well, you should have that. When you have that self-esteem, you have that confidence. Yeah, you got to. Good.
And if they think that someone else was better than me, then I got to break up with them because they're dumb.
Good. I agree. All right, let's move along about my dating life. A little more about that. I just want to give people an update here. We're going to wrap this up in a little bit. Maybe 20 minutes left, 30 minutes left.
How long are we at?
Oh, we're 2 hours.
Oh, my God. Wrap this shit up.
I'm trying to. I want to give. Well, we can wrap it up right now. It's only your stuff. The only thing of mine on my agenda that's left is that last time we talked about my sleepy disorder.
Yeah, let's talk about that, and then we'll get through
that. And then we'll get through that. Because what I want to say is that when we last talked, I was just getting off my Ambien.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out some way to fall asleep. I started taking melatonin, and it freaked me the fuck out. Stop taking the melatonin.
I said lower dosage.
You said lower dosage. Well, I went off the melatonin.
Right.
I was going to say cold turkey went off melatonin, but I'm not. No, wasn't
addicted
that,
to
wasn't
it.
Wasn't that? I wasn't wired on. But the Ambien you can get addicted to.
For sure.
And the Ambien works fantastic. It's great. It's terrific. You have about 20 minutes where you're drunk.
Yeah.
Which wasn't the worst feeling in the world. So I enjoyed Ambien. But I can now sleep with nothing without any.
Really?
You know, anything to put me to sleep. I'll just be tired. I'll fall asleep. I have been taking more nights than not, though I am taking like one Benadryl, which is a very small dose.
Yeah,
normally,
for sure.
If you have allergies,
the whole problem just kind of went away.
I think the Ambien taught me how to sleep.
Oh.
Or whatever that's I was doing before I had Ambien. I mean, and that's the idea with it is Ambien is not something you're supposed to take every night. You take it for a little while.
Right.
And you know. But apparently, whatever the chemistry in the brain.
See, one of the biggest problems
that
a lot
was
of people,
off with when I took the Ambien.
I know
is
we talked
corrected.
About sleep disorders that last time,
right?
But a lot of problems that people have is watching and reading in bed.
Yeah,
because psychologically, you're supposed to sleep in bed.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
and that
the
way
bed is where you go.
Your
to sleep.
Brain makes the association between bed and sleepy time.
Uh-huh. Well, I agree.
So when you sit in bed and watch TV,
I'm pretty bad at that.
Yeah,
it is. No, I get what you're saying. It's
I can
not,
tell by where the position of the TV and the bed.
Television and the bed are very close together. But no, I get that. But the melatonin was a mistake.
Yeah,
I didn't need it. I probably would have been better off without it because really the melatonin was the problem.
Right.
The problems I had before Ambien. Went away on the Ambien.
Right.
They never came back even when I went from switch from Ambien to melatonin.
Right.
But then the melatonin gave me this other fucking bizarre pillow punching in the middle of the night.
Right, night terrors. Right.
So that's all gone, and now I can sleep.
Good.
Except for this morning.
When you had
when I woke up with like the Montezuma's Revenge or whatever.
Poopy Valley.
Yeah, I don't know. I woke up today. I was pissing on my ass for about
McDonald's.
4 hours. I had McDonald's yesterday. I might have got a.
You might get a bad burger.
Employee did not wash hands before returning to work, apparently. And I had the shit.
Employee
for it.
Could not read sign that said wash hands before returning to work.
I think it's in Spanish, too. They should get it.
Is it?
But yeah. But I was sick all day, and my belly still aches. I've only had a can of chicken soup today.
Yeah.
It's my only sustenance, so.
You haven't been drinking. You should have been drinking this whole water, I mean.
Oh,
not the not the tea lemonade malt beer I'm drinking.
which is
but I'm saying you need to be hydrated, whether or not you think you do.
I feel good except for my belly, which is nice.
You need water.
I had a fever, and maybe I still have a fever. I don't know. But anyway, my sleep, you can stop worrying about my sleep.
Good.
Because even Corey, when I told him, he called me today. He's like, are we doing a show? And I go, yeah, but I got a bellyache. If I can get over that, I'll do it. So what the fuck's the matter with you lately?
Yeah, I got worried when I walked in.
And
today.
I go,
and you said your belly hurt.
And I go, what?
I mean, this guy's never fucking.
And I go, what's the matter with me?
He's got everything falling
and you
apart.
Go, you go, well, you're having night terrors. And I go, you only know that because you listened to the show, and that was months ago. I go, fine. Between the last show when I had night terrors and today, I clean bill of health.
Good.
Happy, good. Happy, healthy good. Life the rest of the time.
Because
today I wake up and I got a bed.
Because we're reaching
stomach.
The age.
Yeah.
Where the wheels start coming off.
I know. That's what you worry about, right?
Yeah.
I worry about, like, I have a bellyache, but is it really cancer?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You
have a pain.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah.
In the same spot.
Yeah.
Now, is that... is it my muscles because I'm losing a little weight?
Could be.
So I'm starting to, like, readjust
Could
my body
anything,
positioning?
Yeah. Right.
Is it just death in there?
Could be.
Is there a calcified, like, twin
it's
that I never knew
It's not your lungs?
About? I don't think so, but then you never
know.
You smoke
a lot. And
yeah, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Because, like, I went to the doctor. I thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah, what they
and the doctor's like, where's the pain? And I'm like, well, it's right here. I point at my chest above my, like, left nipple. Yeah. And he goes, no, it'll hurt behind your shoulder blade in the back. So you never know.
It is, yeah, that's crazy. I
think I got a pain here in the middle of my chest, and my doctor's going to tell me I got something wrong with my foot. He's like, well, that's where it hurts when you...
Yeah, you know. When I was having my... This was years and years ago now, probably 7, 8 years ago now. Less than that, actually. 5 years ago. When I was having chest pains, I literally was driving to a gig. I wanted to pull over because I thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Didn't, but ultimately made a doctor's appointment, and that's when I was diagnosed with high blood pressure.
Right.
And since I've been on those pills, all of those symptoms have gone away.
Yeah.
And I go, man, well, doctor was like, you know, would having high blood pressure mean, you know, that you feel like you're having a heart attack? And he goes, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and that's a thing that's pretty minor. I mean, I'm saying blood pressure kills people.
Yeah.
But it kills people who don't take care of it.
Exactly.
Because I think my dad was telling me, I don't know, but like everybody over 50 is on a blood pressure pill.
Something like that.
If you're somebody who goes to the doctor and takes care of themselves, they put everybody over a certain age on blood pressure pills.
Right.
So I just had to get on it earlier than most people. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, I should probably be on something.
Do you know what your... I have a cuff.
No, I don't want to do
you
that.
You want a cuff? Look, the cuff's right there.
No, I don't want to do that.
The cuff.
I get nervous. I get nervous about things
if
like
you got that. Nervous, then it would show you that you were high.
That's right.
And then
I'd be even more nervous about it.
Yeah.
But no, I've driven myself to the hospital a couple times. Thinking I would have a heart attack. You know what the good thing is, though?
Yeah.
I have a mitral valve prolapse.
What is that?
I have my heart will beat irregularly.
Okay.
And it'll cause a little short circuit, which makes a little tinge in my heart.
Okay.
But because of that, they have like echocardiograms of my heart.
Uh-huh.
Probably from when I was like 18.
Okay.
So one of the good things is if I feel like I'm having a heart attack, I can go to the hospital.
Yeah.
They'll set me up. They'll do like a heart monitor of me, and they can actually look at the charts from my past, and they can say, like, your heart is still beating exactly the way it was 4 years ago.
Good. Well, that's good to know.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you have a
medical history.
Yeah. And so if you have a heart attack, like, they can instantly see, like, it's not beating the same way it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's guys our age and older who don't go to the doctor ever.
Yeah, I know.
We know a guy.
Yeah.
Guy might have been sitting in that chair earlier today.
Yeah.
He never goes to the doctor, and you just go, I mean, you're not really in the greatest shape, you're almost 40, he doesn't even get, like, his vitals done.
Right.
Like, you should go and have your cholesterol checked, and you have your blood pressure checked.
I should go more than I do.
Once a year. Well, how often do you go?
Year and a half, 2 years.
Okay.
I go and get a full checkup.
Okay.
I get all my blood work done.
Yeah.
Heart, lungs, eyes, nose, throat.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I get chest x-rays.
Okay.
So, I mean, I get the whole...
Okay, so you get the full full workout.
And I figure I can go about a year and a half, 2 years before I need to get that done.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. I see that.
But I've also
consciously
made the decision that when I'm 45, so 4 years from now, I'll start going every year.
Okay, that's fair. I go every 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, I don't get everything done every 6 months. I get my blood drawn once a year.
Right.
But I have to go to get the blood pressure prescriptions.
Yeah.
They give you a six-month supply, and then when those run out, you make an appointment, you go in, and they at least look at you and go, okay, we'll keep you on the same medicine. You know, they take your vitals, and you go. So it's just a rubber stamp, essentially.
For sure.
But at least I'm going, and I have a record of my history.
Right, exactly. And they can match it up against things.
Well, the first time I went in and I had blood pressure, you know, and I didn't know I had blood pressure. I thought I was having a heart attack. So I go in and I go, I'm having chest pains, and they don't even take me to the room where they're going to exam me.
Right.
They take me to the EKG room.
Yeah.
And they put you on the EKG, and they do the EKG, which terrified me the first time I did it.
Yeah.
Now, the EKG is pretty common. It's really not that
I can't talk about this. Give me anxiety.
Okay. But I have the EKG, and I get in the thing.
It's giving me high blood pressure.
The doctor comes in, and he has the EKG, and he's looking at it, and he says to me, he goes, your EKG is normal. And I go, oh, that's no good. And he goes, why is that no good? And I go, because I thought I was having a heart attack.
Right.
And if I was having a heart attack, it would show up on that paper.
Right.
So now I've got something else that I don't know what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that was my logic to him. I was like, look, I think I'm having a heart attack. Now you're telling me I'm not.
See, the last time I went in the hospital for when I thought I had a heart attack, and they rushed me into the bed, and they hooked me up to all the machines.
Yeah.
Now, I meditate.
Okay.
Every day I meditate.
Okay.
Whether you believe in that shit or not.
Okay. You do it.
And I was in the hospital bed, and I was getting an anxiety attack.
Okay.
So I meditated.
Yeah, and what happened?
It dropped my fucking heart rate so low that the fucking alarm started going off.
Oh, jeez.
And then they ran in there, and I was freaking out. And then it shot back up over the top because I've got doctors all around me. And they were like, what the fucking happened? Your heart dropped really fast. And I was like, well, I started to meditate.
Oh.
And then they turn the alarm off and leave me in the bed.
Go, enough of this clown. He's fooling with us. Leave him alone. He'll be fine.
F them.
Yeah. Well, you know, the doctor, when they took my blood pressure and they saw how high it was.
Yeah.
They go.
They gave you an award.
No, they go, we're going to take you. Yes. I won the big stuffed animal off the wall. Right. Yeah. No, he goes, are you nervous to be, because it's called white coat hypertension.
To have a heart attack.
Are you nervous around doctors?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's called white coat hypertension.
Right.
You go home, you take your blood pressure, it's fine. You go into the doctor's office, it's high. Why is it high? Because you're afraid of the doctors and the nurses.
For sure.
And that's immediately what he thought about me. And then he waited 5 minutes and took it again and saw it was still high and went like, okay, you got a problem.
Right.
So that's how,
When my dad had to get a stress test, I took a stress test. Did I tell you about this?
No, but I fear the stress test.
I took a stress test.
What? And then you're okay.
And I'm fine. Yeah. They put me on a treadmill.
Yeah.
And I had to keep going.
And they put the oxygen thing.
They put the oxygen thing on me, and then they started inclining the treadmill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you got to do it for a certain amount of minutes and a certain amount of time, get your heart rate up to a certain place.
Right, right, right.
So I did that, and I was like, I got to do this.
Yeah.
I didn't know you can, like, go, this is too much.
Oh, you just said, like,
I just went. Oh, okay. And so then I was done, and the guy was like, oh, you did very well. He was like, you went through the whole thing. He's like, most people don't.
Oh, they say that's enough.
They give up at some point, you know? And then my dad told me he's got to get one.
Oh, geez.
And I'm thinking, my dad's 460 pounds.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a stress test for the treadmill.
So I took him. Yeah, exactly. So I take him to the hospital. I didn't know this. I take him to the hospital. Yeah. He disappears to take a stress test.
Yeah.
He comes back, you know, whatever, an hour later. Mm-hmm. And I go, how long were you on the treadmill?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I don't do that. And I go, what do you mean?
What do they have to do?
And he goes, for people my weight, he goes, I lay on a table and they inject stuff into me that accelerates my heart rate.
They turbocharged your head, essentially. Give him a shot of nitrous.
Yeah. And your heart shoots up.
Oh, boy.
And they hold your heart there to see if you can take it. And if it can, then they drop you down.
If you don't die, they drop you.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
The stress test, that's where they figure out if you have, like, a blockage and stuff. Isn't that what that's for? Yeesh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to do that at some point.
Yeah.
All right. Well, John, now, I know we want to do that. Can we get right into your new project?
Yeah.
Let's get right into that, and we'll wrap it up, although
It'll
we're wrapping
short.
It up, but not wrapping it
not
up.
Not wrapping it
and
up.
And here's why.
Here's the secret.
Tell everybody what you're up to.
All right. So, I have larger plans. This is the first step in the larger plan.
Phase one.
This is phase one. I currently haphazardly do a podcast called Realm of the Weird.
Yes.
And for many years, I did a podcast called The Oddest.
Uh-huh.
And
I was a guest on the Oddest.
You were. And the Oddest went away.
Yeah.
And the Oddest is coming back.
Okay.
It's making a resurgence.
All right.
New,
that's good news.
New co-hosts.
Oh, my goodness.
And Realm of the Weird will be kicking off. Realm of the Weird is actually going from a bi-weekly podcast, which it's not.
Okay.
Because I always miss putting out the episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Realm of the Weird will be a once-a-month thing.
Okay.
So there'll be 12 episodes a year.
All right.
But I had a dream.
Okay.
And in the dream...
I've heard this story as well.
I was hosting a podcast that was known all across the world.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was telling people results from polls and surveys.
Okay.
And reading funny lists to people.
Okay.
And the name of the podcast was Top Tennies.
Top Tennies.
Top Tennies.
You got the pun built right into your name.
Right into the name.
All right. So.
And so I'm going to do a weekly podcast.
Okay.
Called Top Tennies.
Sure.
And I've been conducting non-scientific surveys.
Yeah.
But according to the Gallup mathematical metric.
Yeah.
And I will be revealing the results of the questions that I've asked.
Okay.
And talking about funny lists.
Mm-hmm.
And people can use the podcast and the questions and the surveys and the results to expand the conversation with friends
so
around
they
them.
Can, so you do these things, and then people can talk about them.
Yes.
And like people say, oh, I don't believe the result of that. Everyone that I know said the other thing.
And then they can talk to their friends about that.
Yeah, and they'll all say you're wrong.
And then on the website for Top Tennies, there will be interactive polls.
There you go. Perfect.
And interactive surveys.
That's good.
And those will be included in later shows.
And then you can talk about what the fans said about the certain
issue.
Good. All right. So this Top Tennies, when is this going to start then?
We're going to record the first episode as soon as we stop recording this.
All right. But the deal is I am the first guest on Top Tennies.
You are the first guest.
So what we're going to do now is I want you to we're going to do – I don't know what's the version of this. Is this NCIS or is this CSI?
What do you mean?
Where the characters overlap from show to show.
Oh.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah. I feel like it's a spinoff.
Spinoff in a sense, sure.
It is a spinoff.
But you are
I feel
now...
like you are Happy Days.
Yeah.
And I'm that episode where Mork showed up.
Oh, so you're Mork. You're Vern or Shirley, but you're Mork. No, I get it.
I'm Mork.
Yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden...
You'll see Mork on another show.
Yep.
And Mork will be his own show. But I'll be on the show, too.
Oh, right.
So there you go. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to start Top Tennies.
Yeah.
And what we'll do is we'll tease this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, get your information. Yeah. Okay. And here on Joel Radio, we're going to start the Top Tennies show. And then what will happen is we'll go over to... and then you guys want to hear... so John's going to ask a question, I believe.
I'm going to ask a couple questions.
Sure.
Of the listeners.
Sure.
And
I'm going to give my opinion as well.
Are you going to give it now?
Well...
Why don't you give it now?
Well, I'm going to give my opinion. You're going to ask the question now, but that's how Top Tennies is going to work, is I'm going to give my opinion.
On the Top Tennies?
Yeah, on Top Tennies.
Not now.
Not now.
You're confusing me, Joel.
Just ask the question. I'll
All right,
it
so me. Here's the question for your listeners.
Sure.
In their mind. Does the week begin on Monday or Sunday?
Monday or Sunday.
That's the first question for the listeners. I have one more question.
Sure.
If that's all right.
That's fine. Now, I am going to have an opinion on these, but I will give my opinion on Top Tennies.
That's right.
I'm not giving it here on Joel Radio. Yeah.
And then here's one that generated a lot of controversy.
Good.
A simple question.
Good. Let's hear it.
But pancakes or waffles?
Very good. I have an answer for that, too.
And then, this is the question that got asked most.
Okay.
This is hundreds of people have been serving.
Hundreds
of people have been
serving. All right, cool. He has a whole notebook. He's flipping through pages of notes here.
And this is some of the questions, yes, no.
Yeah.
Pick your favorite, whatever. Okay. And then there are open-ended questions such as this one.
Okay.
And you wouldn't think, this is the question that caused best friends to form a rift from which they never recovered.
Okay.
What is your favorite vegetable?
All right.
And many people have been surveyed.
Okay.
Your listeners, I bet you they couldn't guess what the number one vegetable was, according to the survey.
And they'll find out on Top Tennies.
On Top Tennies.
Top Tennies. There you go. So we'll link over to Top Tennies. I'll be John's first guest. Be a terrific show. Sounds fun. Sounds like that's a fun half hour.
Yeah.
As opposed to this painful 2.5 hours.
Oh, my God.
No, it was a very fun show. Thank you, John, and we'll see everybody on Top Tennies.
Yep.
And when we go to Top Tennies, we're going to plug something we did here.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what that is, but we'll plug it.
Something.
We'll figure something out. But anyway, go listen to Top Tennies with John. Thanks again for joining us today.
See you later,
Joel. Great having you, and Corey, and we'll see you and everybody at home.
Goodbye, Joel.
I'm sorry
that was my Corey imitation. Goodbye, Joel.
Corey's out of here.
Yeah.
But I want to thank Corey for coming back.
Yeah.
Because I was going
to
tease that.
I was missing him.
Yeah, you thought there was
a... I hate listening to you talk to me.
It's better with Corey. You have to listen to yourself. So listen to that. Anyway, leave us comments on the front page of joelradio.net. We always appreciate that, like the guy who did.
Yep.
Didn't like the Eagles. Today, I don't know, with all the talk of the fall, I don't know what they're going to think, but...
He liked it.
He liked it. You'll like it. Trust me, you'll like it. Just go with it. Just have fun. I'll take it.
It only hurts at first.
Right. Like, you may look, and you may go... I don't know where this train's going.
That's right.
But it always gets to the station.
You're afraid when the tip goes in. Just relax.
Relax and enjoy.
There'll be some pressure at
first. Your body will accept it eventually. All right. But also, catch us on Stitcher. That's the new way to get
Joel
Radio.
Oh, yeah, Stitcher, too, for Joel Radio.
Stitcher for Joel Radio. Check that out. And we'll see John over on Top Tennies. And what else can I? You can call 610-552-0746. Give us your thoughts on the fall, Rodriguez, Dystropia, any fucking Bobcat Goldthwait. I want to thank him and Kevin Pereira, even though I kind of stole a bit from his show, but fuck it, it's about me. So anyway, we'll catch you next time on Joel Radio and soon on Top Tennies. Look for me there.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see you. Goodbye.